Dude, Carl's Jr. Charbroiled Double Deals just popped up on my timeline. The California Classic Double, the Jalapeno Double, and the Double Cheeseburger, $2.99 each.
How'd they know?
The algorithm, dude.
Charbroiled Double Deals for $2.99 each. Only at Carl's Jr. Available for a limited time. Price and participation may vary. Price higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Tax not included.
This is Let's Get Jacked Up on Fringe Radio Network.
Hello, everybody. Jack Blankenship here. If you get a chance and you're on Facebook, check out the Prayer Chain. It's Prayer Chain for followers and fans of Jesus Christ. We don't talk any politics. We don't discuss religion. There's no pretty quote. We are there to do intercessory prayer for the needy. That's it. It's God's work. It's God's prayer chain. Join us. May God bless you this day.
Ready to go live in 3, 2, 1.
This is Let's Get Jacked Up on the Fringe Radio Network.
This is my favorite table. Done a lot of business at this booth.
Oh, come on, guys.
Yeah, I mean, why us?
Because I believe in you. And I know you came out here because you know what you're capable of. So do I.
Pop stars, they're the ones who influence the masses. We're just a rock band.
Oh, pop stars are so boring. Anyway, I've got most of them.
Like who?
Jay-Z, Empire State of Mind. I love that lyric, Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church ends. And then his little protege, Kanye. You know, I put him on the front of Rolling Stone magazine with a crown of thorns on his head. Total blasphemy.
Okay, right, look. Why exactly a band like us?
Rock and roll. Heavy metal. You know, you guys, you're so loyal to me. You wear me on your sleeve. Have you ever seen Iron Maiden? They filled stadiums full of their fans. Singing along to songs like The Number of the Beast. Or what about Van Halen? Running with the Devil. The Stones. Sympathy for the Devil. I'm not saying I'm Satan. Just saying that the Devil is a catchy lyric.
If that was all real, they would never put it out in the open.
Check this out. See this? The pyramid and the eye. Do you know what that signifies?
Illuminati.
What does that writing say?
He favors our undertakings.
Yes, I do. And this?
New Order of the Ages.
Novus Ordo. Yeah. You know, the best place to keep a secret is right in front of someone.
All right. Fine. I'm a believer.
Are you speaking for everybody? All right, I'll take one. I'll take one. We perform a ritual ceremony. And then I will make you international icons.
What's the ritual?
Something very simple. Human sacrifice.
No way.
Coming to you live somewhere deep in Fresno, California, it's Let's Get Jacked Up! Three sinners saved by grace.
Now, here are your hosts, Jack, Tim, and Bobby.
And welcome to
Hello, everybody. I'm Tim Parrish, and welcome to Let's Get Jacked Up. We are jacked up for Christ tonight, and we have with me Bobby Raymond, back from a busy week. Hello, Bobby.
Hey. How's it going, sir?
Excelente. And with a very tired Jack Malarkey Blankenship.
Malarkey.
Malarkey.
Yeah, that's what I said. Malarkey. Anyway. Hey, folks, that clip was brought to you by American Satan. How about that, huh? That was a movie clip that I've never heard of that movie until I came across
it this
week.
Probably a reason for that. Yeah. Just saying.
And so today, folks, we're going to talk about Hollywood Soul. Very interesting, very interesting. One of these topics that Jack says, hey, guy, let's do something light. This week, you know, we've hit in some hard topics. I go, okay, what do you want to talk about, Jack? Oh, let's talk about Hollywood and all the filth that they're into and all this. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is not a light topic. How far in the rabbit hole do you really want to go with this? So we're going to try to tackle the basics tonight for you fringers, but for our listeners who've been listening to us for years and beyond years, even more than we've been on.
Decades? We've been listening for decades.
Decades and decades. Well, this would be kind of newer for you. We did touch it way back on Hollywood's ego, but again, we're going to call this one Hollywood's soul. So, but before we get to all of that good stuff, we're going to have a little light, and we have a contest for the first two callers that call in tonight, and we're going to give that phone number to you right now.
To talk to the Let's Get Jacked Up crew live on air, call 559-492-9041. That's 559-492-9041.
Now, why couldn't you have just done that yourself? I'm confused.
Why not? I mean, look.
I put so much time into all audio.
No, no, no. You don't understand. This is an alien.
Oh, is it? What's his name?
Leapy Walker. Leap Walker.
His name is Leap Walker?
Yeah, I call him Leapy, you know. And, okay. And so,
is he your buddy?
Well,
is this where you've been all these late nights? Is that what it is? You got been abducted by this alien? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, now you believe in abduction?
I mean, I'm not saying I believe in it, but if that's a story you're using.
No, I don't. Listen, we've kind of touched on that, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago? So we're not going to go there again.
I'm just saying it's kind of weird, dude.
Is it?
Not really. I don't care.
Yeah, okay. So, Bobby, how's your week been?
You know, it's been good. It's been a little chaotic. I've been doing, the whole family thing and you know, dealing with family stuff. And, you know, it's tough being a dad at times. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean.
I got twin 8-year-olds, and they've decided that they know more than me. At 8.
Don't I know?
I didn't know that this is how it worked. At 8 years old, I have them telling me, "No, Dad, you're wrong." I'm like, "What?"
Yeah.
"You don't even understand. I'm driving the car. I'm making a left turn. I'm using the left blinker. I am right. That is what I'm supposed to be doing."
Right. No, I know exactly. I have a 9-year-old going on 10, and she thinks she rules the world.
Yeah, isn't that great?
And I don't know how
here's
that
the
happens.
Best part is that your daughter and my daughters are pretty much best friends.
Yeah.
My question is, why is she influencing my girls?
Right? No. Hey, so
just kidding.
Earlier this week, my daughter got in trouble for lying.
Hey.
For lying over something so stupid.
That's what happens.
And so we took something away that she really likes and for like until Saturday. And then tonight she says she lies again about eating butter. So now, and then I wasn't there for that one. So my wife then said, "Okay, we're taking your, the kid's tablet."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're taking the kid's tablet away for a whole month, and she lost it.
Oh.
Yeah, she lost it. And I go, "Well,
why was she eating butter?
I don't know. Why did she lie about eating butter? That's more
was she lying? Is it because she said she did but didn't, or that she said she didn't but did? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I'm not quite sure what the lie was, but I just know she lied, and it's all like right. It's a habit. And
well, but that's the thing.
Yeah.
And what is the thing about lies, especially when people lie about the mundane, is because it's just that, right? Most people who lie or who embellish stories, it's because they feel like the story in itself isn't exciting enough,
Yeah.
And so you get these – like our kids, our kids are prime examples of that, man. My kids are a bunch of lying fools too. They lie about dumb stuff. I got a kid who's not even 2 yet, and she lies to me every day.
That's what I say. Well, I tell her, like, you know, you think we didn't lie when you were your age? You know, we kind of know the tricks here, guys. You can't fool the wolf anyway. So, and so Jack has no problem with his kids, right?
His kids are perfect.
Were all grown up.
Yeah.
And they were perfect.
Wow.
As Bobby said. You know.
Yeah.
Well, he's rolling his eyes at me, by the way.
Oh, boy. Hey, guys.
As was I, you know.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You were perfect.
My mother,
perfect kid.
I was such a perfect child.
We've heard your stories.
I was such a perfect child that my mother told me one day in heat of frustration, I hope you have four just like you.
And guess what? How many did you have?
I have four just like
you. Uh-huh.
Well, I wouldn't say they're just like you.
Well, they were.
Well,
they
one's
were,
a girl, were, I think, right?
No. Four twin boys and then two more boys.
Oh. Why did I think you had a girl?
No, my granddaughter's a girl.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
And there was four of them, yeah. But now there's five.
Yeah, so
two girls and three boys. Four boys.
You can't even keep them straight.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
Too many to count
already, right?
Too many to count.
Anyway, guys.
And I'm loving life.
We're doing this contest. We're giving away a prize or two, and 559-492-9041 if you want to call in, and hopefully we have this connected correctly. But while we're waiting for y'all, because I know you're just all getting settled down from your dinner, because it's 8:40 Pacific time here on a Thursday. So...
Let me just, before you go any further, you have to know that we've got, that you might hear some sporadic background noise. We are not haunted, okay? There's no ghosts around us. We do have some loud and obnoxious neighbors who, we love them dearly. We love them dearly, but they are...
Why, Jack? Why? Why would you do this?
But no, I'm telling you, we love them. They are great people. They really are. But they're just very energetic. It's a little stormy outside, and people get excited. The energy in the air, the electricity in the air.
I will say, if we do lose power, it's not because of lightning tonight, because I don't see any lightning. But it is raining here in Fresno, which is very rare, by the way, on May 23rd. It's very rare to have a bunch of rain. It's usually like...
It's very rare for it to be in the 80s.
Yeah, it's usually in like 90s.
In winter.
Listen, my anniversary, I got married May 31st, 2003.
It's the apocalypse.
And it was and it was 110 degrees in 2003 on May 31st. And we had an outside wedding. And I told my wife this morning, I said, honey, why couldn't it have been like this on our... when we got married. It would have been perfect.
Because Al Gore didn't tell you it was warming yet.
Well, you know what? That's got to be it, right?
Yeah, it's got to be it.
There's a cooling down from all of that liquid, all that ice that's gone back into the atmosphere.
Right, I don't know.
Whatever he's saying.
Yeah, by the way, the whole polar bear thing.
Yeah.
They said that the polar ice caps are actually have increased by 2 feet. And the polar cap on the world has increased by 2 feet in diameter. Well, that's only like 8,000 miles. So that's quite a 2 feet. Okay?
Yeah, right.
And it hasn't been shrinking. It's actually grew 2 feet.
You know, a funny thing, another funny thing about this whole polar bear thing is I saw somebody was talking about, a zoologist actually was talking about how they opened up this can of worms of polar bear stranded out in the, on this weird, like all by itself on this small little like
trying to get home.
Ice.
Yeah.
So they funneled all this money into research, right? So they actually started just watching polar bears, and they watched a polar bear swim like 12 or 13 miles in the ocean by choice, like just hopped in the ocean and started swimming, right? Which pretty much disproved the idea that they're like poor,
stuck out on
whatever.
An iceberg. Yeah.
And another thing they found out is that polar bears are the most ruthless bear, that they will actually attack humans for what seems like recreational fun.
What?
Yeah.
They
don't do them for food.
Bears.
They don't eat them. They don't do anything. They will stalk them, kill them, and then just move on.
Which is actually kind of human.
And that, so you're saying that we're descendants from polar bears?
Oh, there's the missing link.
Dang.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow. Okay.
That can't be right, though.
No, because I'm not furry. That furry.
Listen, not only that, but listen, hey.
And Tim's wider than a polar bear.
Okay. But that's what I'm getting at. The whiteness of a of a polar bear? I mean, that's some crazy privilege, man. That is some crazy privilege.
Our phone's going crazy, Tim.
Well,
what's
you
going
can't
on?
Hear it. No, you can't hear it. So listen, what we're going to do right now, are you ready, Bobby?
Sure. Is somebody on the phone?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What am I ready
you'll
for?
Hear it ring.
What
you'll
am
hear.
I in the, what am I ready
well,
for?
Here, I'm going to give that number out one
okay.
more time. Here.
To talk to the Let's Get Jacked Up crew live on air, call 559-492-9041. That's 559-492-9041.
There you go.
And what's that character's name?
Leapy.
Leaky.
No.
Oh, I thought Leapy. Maybe he had a problem. I like
yeah, no, he's actually the spokesman for Depends. We're good.
All right, here we go.
And now it's time for Bobby's Crazy News.
We're there already? That's what you meant by am I ready. Holy macaroni. Okay. I'll wait for the music to start.
Talk about being thrown on a spot.
I know, right? No, it's okay. So, hey, we're doing this a little bit early, and that's okay. Tim, you know, you kind of threw me on the spot here, but let me start things off with something here. While we're waiting for somebody to call in or whatever, let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about killing somebody?
I haven't, no.
Never, ever? You're such a liar.
No.
You've never thought about killing somebody?
Maybe hurting somebody.
I one time I dreamed, like I actually got a... Oh,
here
is there
we
somebody
go.
Calling?
Yes.
I don't know if anybody else can hear it. Go ahead and answer it, and we'll come back to this news situation.
Yeah, I'm trying to answer it.
Tim, there you go. You have touched me.
I know. Okay. Hello, you are on the air. With Let's Get Jacked Up. Who's this?
Oh. Hi, this is Robert. I just want to say I love you guys' podcast. Love everything you guys talk about. It's awesome.
All right. Hey, Robert. How are you?
Cool, Robert.
Doing great. How are you guys tonight?
We're good. Doing okay. So, Jack, just remember there's like probably like a 3 to 5 second delay. So when you talk, you got to let them respond. Otherwise, we're going to talk over them.
Okay. Well, Robert, you've won your choice of a fabulous... fly swatter.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Or a Let's Get Jacked Up coffee.
Coffee
what
mug.
What is that thing
so,
called?
So, hey, Mr. Robert, I want you to know that there is this double insulated coffee mug that we're shamelessly promoting ourselves here. Okay, with a super awesome mug. By the way, this is the other Robert, in case you didn't catch on to that.
Yes, Robert and Robert. Wow.
Robert and Robert. Hey, it's amazing. It's like there's so many of us. I don't even know if I even know this guy. I don't know if I've ever met him before. Anyways, but the other thing is this super awesome electric fly swatter that literally you can use it to shock your children if you have them.
I wouldn't do that.
Why not?
No.
Dude, that is
really
the SWAT. Hey, if you got swatted by one of those, you would never misbehave again.
Listen, Let's Get Jacked Up does not condone any swatting of children.
No, just don't it's spare no. the rod.
All right.
Anyway, Robert, email your address to give me the email.
Let's Get Jacked Up at gmail.com, and we will happily send this out to you. Which one would you like?
I would have to go with the coffee cup because I'm a big coffee advocate.
Yes.
All right.
Good deal.
Yes. Awesome.
I will shamelessly mail this to you, and it will be delivered in the very near future.
Let's get
just,
checked.
At least just make 6 to 8 sure, yeah. weeks. Don't worry about
6
it.
6 to 8 weeks.
Apparently, it's going to be sent in by a pack mule. Yeah. So, hey, let me ask you this. You say you listen to the show a lot. What do you think is how do I ask this politely? Are we right in thinking that we should tell Tim to leave?
What?
I'm totally kidding. I wouldn't do that. They asked me to leave, and I told them no. It's part of my contract. I'm stuck here whether they like it or not.
Contract. Wow.
And all right.
Yeah, no, we're experimenting a lot. Did you hear the rock and roll series?
It was
no,
one show.
I missed that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Boy, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Check that out. That one's called Eternal Element. You can't miss it.
You can't miss it at all. All right. Well, hey, Robert, thank you so much for giving us a call. You know, don't be afraid to like us on Facebook. Share us if you get a chance. Don't forget to, you can call anytime. Chew us out. Just remember, it's got to be clean. No foul language, please, because we will give you the ding-dong bong. What? And isn't that where you beat them? Isn't that what you do, Tim?
Yeah, if I had
Robert,
one.
Is there anything you'd like to say?
You guys keep doing what you guys are doing. I look forward to listening to many, many more of your podcasts, and I look forward to the coffee cup.
Awesome.
Hey, Robert, give a shout out, somebody. You know, ex-boyfriend or something. What? You know?
Oh, dang.
All right, I'll give a shout-out to my lovely and beautiful wife and my two kids.
Nice. Awesome. Awesome. Hey, tell them we love them. And
thank you very much.
I mean, we don't love them the way you love them, but thank you so much for calling in, man. We really appreciate it.
Well, with God's love, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, that's
true.
God's love, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you, Robert.
You guys
appreciate
have a great night.
All right, man. Good night. See you later.
You too.
Congratulations on your mug.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, that was pretty awesome. We actually got a caller. Sweet. All right. So, hey, you know, before I was rudely interrupted by a phone call, I'm just kidding. You know, killing somebody, conspiring to kill somebody, whether it's in your mind or actually doing it, you know, really like trying to kill somebody, I don't care what anybody says. We've all thought about it at some point in time. I remember when I was a kid, I dreamed of stabbing somebody in the head with a pair of scissors. I know that's dark, but that's just what I was going through puberty, and it was a weird time in my life, and that's what I did. So anyways, check this out.
Not that I can remember. You know, I do the Clinton thing. You know, I cannot recall.
Oh, you guys are innocent.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember growing up thinking about this maybe four times a week. Dreaming out about it like every other night, you know?
I mean, that's the truth of it all. But, you know, what I'm saying is that we all do it, right? So check this out. Imagine that you are elderly. Okay, how old do you think? Let's say 102 years old. And let's say that you are, hanging out inside of an old folks' home, and you just decide one day, you know, I don't like that person. And you decide to kill them. You think about it. And then guess what? You actually do it.
Wow. Okay?
Yes. A carrier at a home in, I can't pronounce it because it's French, some place in France, in northern France, found a victim who had died in their bed with their face severely bruised. The cause of death was strangulation and blows to the head.
Wow, by another senior
citizen. The senior citizen, the person who did it, they suspect, was a 102-year-old. She was very agitated. A little confused, and told the person who found the body that she had killed someone.
So what do you do with this person? You can't lock them up for the rest of their life.
Why not?
They only got like two more days left.
Hey, that's cool. That would be a short life sentence. You know? I mean, that'd be the cheapest life sentence.
And she gave the death penalty to another person. How about giving her the death penalty? What's your thoughts on that, guys?
Nah.
No, you wouldn't
come
do it?
Come on. Save us a dime. I mean, she's not going to live that long, so it's not going to cost that much.
Yeah, well, you know? That's true.
Wow.
She's 101 already, right?
Oh, jeez, Louise. Yeah, well, I guess you can just push her over then.
No, I guess we just have to ask God to, you know, forgive her and move on. I mean, he is forgiving. You know, what Jonah say? He said, I didn't want you to forgive them after God saved the Ninevites. He said, I knew if they repented, you'd forgive them. And I didn't want them forgiven. So, you know, I guess there's sometimes Christians are like this. We don't want certain groups of people forgiven, you know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, for me, you know, it's anybody chews bubblegum and walks, okay?
Okay. Well, I mean, that was your past, though. That was your past. Yeah.
I mean, hey, we're all allowed to feel that way, you know, right?
No. Keep going.
No. Okay. All right. So how about this? This is really funny. I don't know if you guys remember the first time I did the news. We talked about how there was an intruder in someone's bathroom, and the police came, and it turned out to be a Roomba.
Right. Yes.
Guess what? The Roomba thief strikes again.
Yes.
Uh-huh. This time,
I love it.
No, it's insane. This is the second time that it's happened. And can you guys guess where it happened at?
Florida.
No, in Boston this time.
Oh,
yeah. Boston.
Oh, we got one more.
Uh-oh.
Let's see here.
Gosh darn. All right.
Why can't I see it? There we go. Okay.
The man can control the computer.
I know. Hello, this is you're on live with Let's Get Jacked Up. Who's this?
This is Jason. How you guys doing?
Hey,
hi, Jason. Good, how are you?
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller. How you guys been?
Excellent.
That's beautiful, man. I love it. How long have you been listening?
3 seconds.
Man, since you guys started.
I love it, my friend. I love it, my friend. Well, thank you for calling in, man. So, hey, do me a favor. You know, you are another lucky winner of a booby prize, if you will. You have your choice of a Let's Get Jacked Up double insulated high quality mug, insulated coffee mug, you can win yourself what I call the whooping stick, but apparently we're not allowed to do that, but an electric fly swatter.
Oh, well, whatever. I'll take them both. I'll just take one. I'll take the insulated mug. All right.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to find – you have to email us. And let us know what your address is, and we'll be glad to send that out. You'll get that in 12 to 14 weeks.
Wow, it keeps getting later and later. Now, apparently, we're actually going to, we're going to strap it on the back of his dog and put a piece of bacon on the front of him and just send him on his way, and hopefully makes it to your house.
Jack, I didn't know you had
you guys shipped through FedEx.
I gotta buy a dog first, right?
That's funny. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. So Jason, thank you so much for calling. Like I said, please give us your email address. Send it to letsgetjackedup@gmail.com. Don't forget to give us zip code, all that stuff. And please don't be afraid to call. If you hear something that you like, let us know. If you don't like it, let us know too, because, you guys are the reason we do what we do. We love to talk about the Lord and all the crazy stuff that people on this earth want to believe. And, we want to hear your guys' input, so we appreciate it.
Hey, Jason, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, well, I was hearing this show about, stars. Not saying believing, but going against God. And I wanted to know you guys' thought on the Catholic priests that are doing wrong, but...
You mean doing wrong? You mean like banging little boys?
Oh, jeez.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is that too crude, banging little boys?
In layman's terms, exactly, yes. But then they get away with it. I don't understand how is that possible.
I want to know
your guys' point of view.
Well, I'll tell you my point of view. The reason why they're getting away with it is because there are people up in the higher ups that want to try to keep it a secret for whatever reason. Unfortunately, especially when it comes to the Catholic Church, I believe that they're trying too hard to look good. Instead of fixing the problem, they want to hide the problem. They want to cover it up. They want to throw it under the bridge and try to blame it on someone else or pay somebody off or whatever it is. And that's not biblical at all, man. We're called, when we see wrong, we confront wrong and we deal with it the way God wants us to.
Yeah,
exactly.
We
know it's wrong. God knows it's wrong, but. And if, say, you or any other person does it, we go to jail or they go to jail, they get held responsible for their wrongdoing.
Absolutely.
But for some reason, they get away with it. Nobody's higher than the law.
Right.
You see presidents, you see governors, everybody goes to jail.
Right.
And it's just crazy how they get away with it. Like, how are you more higher than the law? Because the law is the law. If you break it, I break it, or priest Muhammad or Dudon or whatever breaks it, you should go to jail and pay for your sins, or pay for your wrongdoing, should I say. But it seems like nothing happens to these guys. It's crazy to me.
Well, I used to get frustrated. Jason, I used to get frustrated at that same sort of thing. And I realized one day that God keeps a very... tight record of these things, and when God will they will be held responsible.
And even says in his word that vengeance is his, and so it's going to come down on him. It's just a matter of when and what time,
but you do have a point. Why aren't the courts going after these guys? What does it matter that they're Catholic priests?
Hey,
what
let me tell you something. So hey guys, really quick, so I just got on my computer and I typed in priests go to jail. And I found this place. It's called. I really did.
Oh, that's the website.
Well, no, the it's actually called. It's called bishopaccountability.org, and it's a database of publicly accused priests in the United States. And it's great because it shows them the date when they pled, how long the convictions are claimed, any time served. And here's what's crazy is that we have one guy who pled no contest to charges from 2004 to abuse on a 17-year-old boy from back in 1982 and was sentenced to 15 months. Released from prison early.
That's not even a month a year.
No.
The kid was 17. He got 15 months?
Yeah.
They could at least give him 17 months, right, Jason?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Worked in several dioceses. Was on a list of abusive priests and refers to him as so he did have to he was registered as a sex offender, but it looks like he was still able to be on the diocese list.
He not only did they call him father, but they call him big guy.
Oh, daddy. They called him daddy.
They call him daddy.
Stepdaddy.
Don't do it, daddy.
Anyway. Thank you, Jason. Thank you.
Anyways, hey, Jason, thank you so much for your call, man. We're going to move on, but you know, it's such a blessing to have you listening. And
I love the show.
Well, thank you so much.
And I love the show. You got to keep doing what you're doing. Appreciate you guys.
Amen, my friend. Hey, take care. God bless. And you have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay, thank
you. All right, thank you, Jason. That's awesome. Yeah, okay, so how about that, Bobby? Man, that was great.
That's great, man. I loved it. I loved it a lot. So, all right. So let me go ahead and pick up where we left off here. So, our Boston thief who turned out to be a Roomba again, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It's pretty amazing because this is the second time it's happened where somebody has called the police because somebody who was broken into the house while the family was there and they didn't realize that it was something just trying to tidy up the floor. That's it.
It was their computerized Aruba.
That's right. It was the Roomba.
A Roomba. Yes. Yeah, I don't want to give any advertisement for it. You know?
I'm sorry. It was the Roomda.
I like the wife to vacuum in the floor.
Damn. All right. Hey, so my last story, and then we'll move on to more pressing issues.
Yes.
Has anybody – raise your hand if you've seen Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Two hands. And watch it. So Mr. Stallone.
That's right. And who else?
Demolition Man.
Thanks. Sylvester. Demolition Man. One of the biggest features of that movie was that the entire place, right? Taco Bell was the high end delicacy.
Yeah.
Remember, it was like the Ruth's Chris of. Of today or whatever, right?
I remember that.
So, yeah, it was said in the movie that it won the restaurant war.
Yes, it was between them and Pizza Hut or something like that. Anyway, so Taco Bell is announcing that it's debuting the Bell, a hotel and resort in Palm Springs of good old California. Because why wouldn't it, right? In California, and it's going to be the summer, and they're throwing the doors open on August 9th, and you can start making reservations as early as June something.
Don't forget.
This is not April Fool's Day, right? This is not some April Fool's twist on things,
right? It's May 23rd day.
But the Bell will feature decor inspired by tacos and fueled by fans, apparently is what this says. So everything from guest rooms to breakfast to the poolside cocktails will be infused with a Taco Bell twist.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, did he just say fueled by fans?
Yes.
Okay, they're eating beans, right?
Did you hear me earlier today, right before the show started?
No, I didn't. But
that was my Taco Bell contribution.
Fueled by the fans. Now, they're eating beans.
Now, just don't tell your kids that you're going to this, okay? Because unfortunately, it's only meant for the super fans that are over the age of 18. But they're going to have decor. They're going to have specific Taco Bell-themed apparel that's unique only to this place. Now, some places are calling it a pop-up, which means it's just coming up and it's coming – you know, it's only for like a temporary thing.
Right.
I don't know. I couldn't find any research to say whether it was or wasn't. But I think it's really cool, man, that they've got this – I personally think it's fun. I love Taco Bell.
Yeah, I like.
And if I can get a Taco Bell Grande themed bedroom, that would be pretty awesome. I would be down for that. Get a little chive sprinkled on my bed pillow, you know?
Wow, really?
Yeah, man. A swim, you know, dude, could you imagine having like a hot tub of sour cream? Oh, that would be awesome. I would love that.
I don't know, would your wife go for that kind of thing?
No, she hates sour cream, but yeah. She would definitely go for the mild sauce.
Well, you know. Everyone has their own flavor, right?
Oh, yes. Anyway, so that is it.
You know what I see? I see a bunch of people that, you know, are obese.
Thank you.
Wallering around in Taco Bell.
Can you imagine if they had like burrito thongs and stuff like that?
Wow.
Like a Speedo in the shape of a burrito?
Wow.
Right? No? Wow. You wouldn't go for that?
No. Okay. Well,
or a Dorito bikini?
Not on me.
Not on you? I'd pay to see it, Tim. Anyways, so yeah, that's it for my weird news this week.
Right.
I'm sure I'll have some more last minute contributions next week. So thank you guys for listening. It's time for us. Tim, you're getting really excited.
I'm getting excited, guys. All right. Okay, so our topic tonight is Hollywood Soul. If you have kids, it's past 9 o'clock. It's a school night. Get them to bed now.
Get to bed!
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to see how much has the public been fooled by Hollywood. That means actors and
directors,
artists and musicians and all of that good stuff. So
the extras.
Oh, boy, do I have some good stuff for you.
Just about anybody in the limelight, right?
So, hey, and you've got some audio clips, right?
I do.
Okay.
They call it Twinkle Town?
And by the way, Bobby kind of disagrees with Jack and I on this, so that would be good for you guys to listen to.
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
Yeah.
So, have we been all gullible and taken the, what you call it, the
Hollywood hook? Deal.
Yeah, the hook. Anyway, we'll be right back. Don't miss it. Put your kids to bed. We'll be back.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey!
What are you looking at?
Your shoes are dying.
Don't be so gullible, McFly.
Okay. Hi, boys and girls. Mickey Mouse here. Let's get jacked up. We'll be right back after these messages.
Who said that? Who said that?
Remember to like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Let's Get Jacked Up. Check out our website at letsgetjackedup.com. Listen and download our episodes from our website, the Spreaker app, and of course at fringeradionetwork.com.
Hello, you fringe-loving earthlings. This is Captain Lee Walker, the alien here to talk about the fringe. If you like conspiracy theories and very odd topics, well then, this is the network for you. With shows like Spirit Wars with Michael Basham, The Iron Show with Johnny McMahon, Canary Cry Radio, and Canary Cry News Talk with Basil and Gons, Giving Understanding and Eyes Wide Open with Levin Olivares, and with newer shows on the fringe, such as Let's Get Jacked Up with those crazy guys, Jack, Tim, and Bobby, Starship Trailblazer with Tony Floyd, and the newest show, Bigfoot Terror in the Woods, plus so much more on this network. Say, Mickey Mouse, what network is this?
On Fringe Radio Network.
That's right, Mickey, but you forgot to say .com, you big-eared freak. It's FringeRadioNetwork.com. That's FringeRadioNetwork.com. Look it up, listen, and download today.
Donald, keep it down.
Okay, so we made it to milepost 9 on the 316 highway. The title of this is, With Harley Davidson, Life is a Journey, Not a Destination. We've all heard something like that in a lot of different places. This particular one was from an online ad from the motor company in March of 2016. And in many ways, it's spot on. It's even more of a journey when you go 2-up. As you likely know, riding 2-up is totally different from taking the journey solo. You've got many things to consider, including the weight capacity of your bike with the extra person. If that extra person happens to be female, you have to allow for an additional 60 pounds of female mystery stuff, the things that she just must have in order to go anywhere. Add in her weight, hint, don't ask, just estimated to be 115 pounds. How much greater stopping distance is needed, the riding skill level of your passenger, etc. You'll find yourself saying things like, lean with me, baby. No, you don't have to put your feet down. I have to concentrate. Stop talking so much, please. What? You just went pee 20 miles ago. Two-up riding is a journey indeed. An indisputable fact of motorcycle riding is this. You'll always remember the rides you take. If you do the same thing in a four-wheel cage, you'll probably forget and have a side order of ho-hum anyway. Now, if you go two-up, you'll not only remember the ride, but you'll also have a running record of your operational competence. You could have made that turn better. That wasn't your best stop. Slow down. What time will we be home? Do you even know where we are? I'm going to nod off for a bit. Small wonder solo riding is so popular. But you'll also remember why you fell in love with her in the first place. Now, being part of Hog, Black Sheep, or any other motorcycle ministry, you're never truly alone out there on the road. There are brothers and sisters out there on the road, at gas stops, even bars, ready to lend an ear, lend a tool, or swap favorite stories about the visible scars from riding. Such is the joy of it all. That's what it's all about. Now, if you're on a Harley, you're riding the world's most popular motorcycle. But have you ever given thought to reading the world's most popular book, the Bible? It's been estimated that nearly 4 billion copies of the Bible have been printed and distributed in the last 50 years. Now, you, like a lot of people, you may have started out some, but got to the place in the Bible where everybody's begetting the next generation with all those foreign names, and you just gave up. Here's a cure for that reading roadside breakdown. It's found in a letter from the Apostle Paul to a group of churches that were having trouble figuring out what the Bible actually says. He wrote, "Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." He does not say, "and to seeds," as referring to many, but rather to one, "and to your seed," that is, Christ. Now, like a Harley shop manual, there's a lot to understand in that little statement. But what is obvious is this. It's all about Jesus. If you're riding solo through some Bible passage and you just don't get it, ask him to reveal himself to you in it. He will. Just like it would be a waste to ride somewhere and miss the journey, don't go through life and miss this. It's all about Jesus. Okay, off the main highway. Now, it really doesn't matter if you're on or off the main highway, come to think of it. If you are looking for Jesus, you will find him. If you are refusing to look, you will miss him at every turn.
Do you find yourself falling asleep during church? Oh, maybe because of a boring sermon, or you're just too tired.
Blah, 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 blah.
Well, now there's a new way to keep yourself alert. There's a brand new invention called Preacher Aid. What looks like an invisible hearing aid has a built-in preacher's voice installed. Just wrap the Preacher Aid around your ear and strap on the biometric band around your wrist. When your pulse starts to go too slow, that means you must be dozing off. Once the biometric meter detects this, the Preacher Aid will work loudly in your ear, and you will hear this.
Son, don't go to sleep while I'm talking. Hey, 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 don't you lay your head back. I'm important. I'm somebody. Now, you might do your English teacher that way, but I'm not teaching English. I'm teaching eternal life here. I love you. You know I love you. Have I convinced you I love you? You better nod your head, yes. All right, come on, put it up here. All right, you stay awake and you listen to me.
That's right. No more sleeping in church.
Blah, 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 blah.
So get your Preacher Aid today for only $50. $50. This is a fake product and commercial, and you could probably get sued if somebody actually made this.
Awake thee, my brother! Awake, my sister! By the name of the Holy Spirit, awake from your slumber!
We are back! 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 We are back!
Welcome back to the show! Now here's Jack, Tim, and Bobby.
And we're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have.
Shut your pie hole! We're working here!
You're listening to us on the Friends Radio Network.
Yes! All right, so can I tell you, I love that. That's one of my favorite little clips from that movie that I don't know if we have the right to say it was on. So before we go any further, I just want to say, Steve,
awesome.
He did a phenomenal job this week. Awesome. I absolutely love that. Steve, please continue with your awesome ministry because you had all of us off air rolling, my friend.
We did.
Your comedic
timing and just the realization of how right you are just completely smacked us in the face. So now, keep it up, my friend.
I've never actually ridden a motorcycle, but I know how in the car goes.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yes.
I assume it's about the same thing on a motorcycle.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we won't go any further than that on that one, but... Folks, welcome back to Let's Get Jacked Up on the Fringe Radio Network. Now, we're going to get into our topic of the night, which is Hollywood soul. Have you ever wondered, you know, where did this actor come from? Who is this guy? Or where is this band out of, you know, out of nowhere they just show up? Out of poof, it's like, now they're famous. Well, why is that? Well, tonight we're going to look at it at, you know, for years and years and years, I always kind of wanted to make it big. Not really to become famous, although that comes with it, but to make a good amount of money for my family, right? And I always enjoy singing and stuff like that. I enjoy acting. I was in drama class back in high school, so I enjoyed all of that. I like entertainment. I like movies. I like going to movies. I like watching movies. We all do, I think. Jack, you like movies. You like Netflix. Oh, you're shaking your head no, but you're a liar.
You're such a liar.
And Bobby, you like movies.
I grew up in the movie age. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. When I started watching TV before you guys were, you know, back in the Stone Age.
Wow.
When I started watching TV, we had like four channels. And you had to get the rabbit ears and line them up, and they were black and white. And the TV went off at midnight,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then it went, and there was just this rough-looking frizzle thing after that. And you're like, that's it?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember that. I was a young kid, but I remember
right.
that.
And then movies were black and white.
Well, I don't remember
I saw them go from black and white to color, from sound to Dolby sound, and various different sound organizations coming out, making them more and more impactful. And, you know, and then, you know, to the point where it got really good with like Jaws. I'm a movie fan because I grew up doing movies. I honestly think that movies killed the book age.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's coming back around
radio
now.
Radio killed the radio star.
I'm glad you're singing it. So what are we doing, you know? I mean, look, I remember when I was little watching TV and my dad would come in. What are you watching? I remember this one time.
Lines. You're watching Squiggly Lines.
I was watching
Andy Griffith. That show's pagan. Don't you know it?
I was like 8 years old or something. I was watching a MacGyver. You remember MacGyver?
Yes.
A guy, Richard Dean Anderson. He used to invent things, right?
Oh, my cousin.
Yeah. He used to invent like a bomb out of a sticker.
You could take a fingernail file and a paint off the wall. And
a phone and call somebody who cares. Anyways,
And I remember I was watching this one episode, and this robber was robbing a store or something, liquor store or something, and he walks in right at that time, of course, and he goes, "What kind of filth are you watching?" And he goes, "Turn it off." And all I said was, "Aw, Dad." And I was on my way to turn it off, and he comes running at me, going to spank me, right? So I go, "Huh?" So I go through his legs. This is true. I go through his legs. I was little at that time. I go all the way to like the other living room, and he catches up with me, and boy,
and
did
it was
I get
worse because he ran away.
Oh yeah, he didn't like that.
No way.
So I got it, but that's the kind of memory I have of watching TV as a kid.
Yeah, I remember my wife telling me that her dad was a Southern Baptist pastor, and that there were certain shows that they weren't allowed to watch and things like that. And, you know, I never thought that I Dream a Genie was satanic.
Right.
But, you know, but as I started watching these shows, these sitcoms, back in the day, the older ones, it's amazing, Tim, they all have a hidden agenda.
Right.
That's almost crazy. Everyone, you don't realize it when you're watching them, but once you go back and you say, okay, let me critique this a little bit. You start realizing that almost every show out there has some kind of agenda for globalism or for anti-Christian or something. Archie Bunker, okay?
You're saying that Archie Bunker was a Satanist?
No, no, no. I'm saying that that show was brought out women's lib very strong.
Yeah.
Okay. It made it to where men weren't the head of the household anymore. You see what I'm saying? There was a transition.
Yeah. I can see the transition.
But, so here's okay. But okay. Go ahead. Hold on. This is my thing. Okay.
And that's all satanic.
My biggest,
go ahead.
I guess issue with all of this is that y'all have been deep in this conspiracy stuff for a long time, and I feel like possibly you are kind of like just playing onto, like your brain is just programmed to see something in everything. Does okay. that make sense? Like that's kind of where I feel like. I'm not saying that I'm a complete skeptic of what's happening because I do believe that there's a lot of evil stuff happening in Hollywood. But to say that it's like a satanic
– well, if you think of globalism, everything that's globalism is moving toward Satan taking over the planet, okay, in the last days. Then anything that supported globalism and somehow pulled away from the way that God – created the family unit, anything that went against God's structure, that could literally be considered antichrist. Okay.
Sure.
And so right now there's a cartoon that the kids watch and it's called Captain Planet.
And it's been on forever.
Yeah. It's been on for a long time now, but basically they wanted to push environmentalism. So through environmentalism, they can now control the world. Because they can, Al Gore's got it.
The song in my head. Would you like to hear it?
You can penalize countries for not following. You can make stop cars from gasoline cars from driving and and
I love go electric. That but I love that cartoon, dude.
Well, that's why it works so well. It's because you love something about
Planet,
it.
He's a hero.
Go ahead.
No, I can't do it with the echo, dude. That's just weird. Yeah. anyways, I loved Captain Planet, okay? Because there was the Earth, there was the water, there was all of these things, and there was heart, okay? All of these different rings that came together, and they created Captain Planet. And he saved the environment, man.
Yeah, magic saved the environment again. Yeah, magic.
Trust me.
And they had these magic crystals in these rings that did it.
Well,
it was the power of the crystal.
And one thing I thought was funny is that each character had, like, for instance, Heart was red and it was owned by a redhead. The yellow the yellow one was like water or something, or no, blue was water. Maybe it was like earth. I don't know, but it was
earth, wind, and fire.
It was yellow. It might have been fire. Maybe I don't know, but it was yellow. And the girl was Asian, right? So it's like, wow, that's incredibly racist. But no, the thing is that
borderline.
Okay, obviously, this is tongue in cheek for me, okay? Because I know the agenda hidden behind Captain Planet as an adult, but as a kid, I loved it, right?
Right.
And I get that that's part of what you guys are playing on is that it's this indoctrination. It's like subliminal. Right. But look at this. OK, for instance, Christian Bale. Right. Christian Bale, he won an award for his portrayal of the vice president, Bush's vice president. What's his name? Dick Cheney.
Dick
right.
Cheney, yes.
And he gets up and he basically thinks Satan. People think God, and he was being funny and he thinks Satan. Now, my question to you is, do you think he really was thinking Satan, or do you think that was him just
I think is
also bad, but do you think that he was just making a mockery of God?
I heard that, and I thought about using that clip tonight, but I'm not, because here's why. I think in that certain case, he wasn't actually thanking Satan tongue-in-cheek or otherwise. I think he was saying that because he was trying to play the role of Dick Cheney, and he thinks Dick Cheney is Satan. I think in that regard, he was saying, "I thank you, Satan, for giving me inspiration for playing Dick Cheney."
You also have to think about something else. Comedy, I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. I just feel like we should kill everybody.
Let's get jacked up. Let's not condone that.
Yeah, they don't condone
anymore.
That. Yeah, no. No, what I'm saying is this, that through comedy,
yes,
people are now getting their news. they're finding their truths in life through politics and everything else, all about through comedy. So for somebody to get up and jokingly say something, well, if I there's a movie called there's a movie with Richard Pryor called Moving. And he's moving to Idaho. And when he go, him and his wife go to look at this house, the guy that's selling the house keeps telling him, do you like the everything? He says, those are beautiful stairs. He says, everything Richard Pryor and his wife say that they like, the swimming pool, the floors, the doors, everything. Every time they say it, they start laughing. They go, but we're taking it with us, right? And he keeps a recording of this. And so when they, when Richard Pryor finally shows up at the house, the doors are gone. The floors are gone. They even took the swimming pool. Okay. They took the staircase. Okay. Like the kitchen movie, was actually. Gone. The kitchen was gone. It was a real funny movie.
Yeah.
But Richard Pryor calls him on the phone and says, hey, where's my house? He says, you took this. He says, whoa, I told you. He says, you were laughing. You were joking. He says, I got it. No, no, I got the recording right here. It says I was taking this. I wasn't taking that. So it didn't matter the tone in which he said it or how comedic.
It's that he said it.
It was that he said it. It was a notice that it was said. Okay. Yeah. And just because I said it jokingly doesn't mean it wasn't true.
Exactly.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. And I think we're going to see that tonight in some clips that I've got for you guys. And I like that Bobby thinks differently than us. Now, again, this might be a brush up on some Fringe fans that you've been listening to Fringe for a long time, but that's okay. I think for like people like Bobby and others that, well, let's be honest, the church today is asleep on this totally for the most part.
Okay, let's go here for a second. Okay, Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim Carrey, who's the crazy man. Okay, everything he's done. I mean, he had a movie where he actually pooped out of a cow's rear end, okay?
And it wasn't a cow. It was a rhino.
Rhino, okay. I mean,
Ace Ventura?
Ventura, right. Okay, and everything he does is gross, disgusting. You know, there are a lot of movies like that. And I actually was starting to become a fan of him for a little while. And in 2017, he actually was going to churches and speaking, okay? And he was saying that Jesus, let me read this. It says, the actor Jim Carrey recently gave an inspiring thought of the day about Jesus opening the door to forgiveness on planet Earth, that through Christ, forgiveness came. Great message, right? 2018, Jim Carrey on Twitter, Christianity, Trump style. Jesus was a loser, a failed carpenter. He's a savior because he was crucified. Same guy, 1 year later. Mm. So a year earlier, he talked about this spiritual awakening.
Well, you could have a spiritual awakening without Jesus.
Right. Yeah. But he credits it to Jesus and the power of his forgiveness. Okay.
Oh.
And I didn't believe it. I saw a wolf and sheep trying to dress himself in sheep's clothing because his career is dying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so he's playing on Christians, because guess what was happening in 2017? Christians were pushing our power politically.
Mm.
Okay. And now Trump won 2018. And Trump is the most Christian-pushing president we've ever had. Now, I'm not saying I'm a Trump supporter right now. What I'm saying is that Jim Carrey thinks that Trump has his own Christian style. But
and you're not even buying necessarily that Trump is a Christian himself.
No, or Jim Carrey.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is this. In June 24th, this is 11 months later of 18, he says, Christianity Trump style. Jesus was a loser, a failed carpenter. He's a savior because he was crucified. Okay? Mm. This doesn't sound like a man that's in tune with God to me. But yet he's playing on Christians, and Christians are starting to listen to Jim Carrey. Okay? And because why? Because he's famous. Okay, And some of them liked his comedy. Guys, he's got people that watched his shows when they were 16, 17 years old that are now, you know, business people. They're movers and shakers.
Right.
And so he's got a generation of followers behind him that now call themselves Christians. Okay. And so he's playing the Christian card. And so we're going to start seeing more of this. And the reason why I'm saying this is because Jim Carrey's just one. I think we need to oust some of these phonies out there.
Yeah.
Okay. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from what we believe. They will follow lying spirits and teachings that come from demons, like Captain Planet. Okay.
He's a hero.
And these teachers are hypocrites and liars. They pretend to be religious, but their consciences are dead. Mm-hmm. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods, but God created those foods to be eaten with thanksgiving by people who know and believe the truth. Mm. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it. We may receive it gladly with thankful hearts, for we know it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. And we have the reason why I'm saying this is because we have a whole group of Christians who are being led down this path that say that you have to worship God on Saturday, or you have to worship God on Sunday, or you can't eat pork, it's unclean. And so we're starting to see a division in the church of those that are being taught lies. Mm. And let me put it this way, Tim.
Well,
here's
the thing, though. I don't know if it, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Somebody comes to your church, how are they introduced? If a guest speaker comes to church, well, this is so-and-so Matheny. He's written 4 bestsellers or doctorate so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And he has a doctorate in theology and a doctorate in this. And he wrote 3 essays that went viral on the internet. You know, they always have some way of puffing people up instead of just saying, the pastor or the elder or the deacon saying, I've invited Brother Tim here today because the Holy Spirit is working through him.
Well, that part of that is because they, you know, it's just the same reason why if somebody is a doctor, you say, this is, you know, Dr. Blankenship.
Dr. Kevorkian.
Whatever it is, right? Part of it is the accolades.
Well, it's not respect. It's accolades.
Some of it is a respect thing. Some of it is acknowledging the accomplishments because it helps, again, whether it is beneficial or not, it helps to validate the information given, you know.
To sell it.
Whatever it is, right?
Yeah, sell it.
So, you know, the one thing, though, that about what you're saying about the whole, like, you know, eating of pork or not eating of pork and all of these things, and not saying I agree with it, is that, you know, part of the problem with the church today also is that we have a skewed sense of how of the chronological understanding of the Bible, right?
Right.
Old Testament versus New Testament. When does one thing supersede another, right? Who has the authority over what? When do we say, okay, we don't have to eat pork? We can eat pork now, right? As a Christian, we can eat pork. Well, why? Where does it say that? Well, it talks about it doesn't say pork specifically by name, but there is a part in the Bible where Christ himself says that you can eat whatever you need to eat because you have to meet the Gentiles where they are. Right, so that's not saying necessarily pork itself, but it's still telling us that hey, these restrictions from the Old Testament, the Leviticus restrictions are gone, right? But the problem is that people aren't necessarily following that rule,
well,
right?
I just read it in Timothy right here. It says they will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods. What's going on right now?
Yeah,
marriage has fallen off the planet. Okay, we have more people in churches that are living together than I've ever seen in my life.
And let's be real too. And failed marriages in the Christian spectrum of the world is at the same percentage as the non-saved population. And the only thing I can say to this is that if you think that ending your marriage is going to solve your problems, you're wrong.
It just
you made a decision. Yeah. Tough it up, Buttercup. Now, unless it's like, you know, something that's really super bad, which, you know, there are some of those issues. But let's be real. Most divorce is because, oh, I just got tired of them. I couldn't deal with it anymore. Whatever, right? And it's like, you know, get over yourself because
the courts.
My wife is tired of me half the time.
The courts issued a thing saying that most divorces are for over two things. One, the first one's money.
Yeah.
The second one is
I can't now because you just told him that's it.
In other words, you can't get past your difference.
Something about rectal in there. I can't because that's where it comes from. It's just a load of bull. You know what I mean? But that's the problem is that somewhere in the laws they've justified it. You know, there's some countries. I don't know if they still do this or not, but you know, there are countries out there where it's like, okay, you can file for divorce, but you can't until you live with the person that you want to divorce in the same room as them for 6 months, or you know what I mean? You have to basically prove that there is, without a shadow of a doubt, there's no way you can resolve the conflicts that you're dealing with. Yeah. But you know, and this is just a small part of it all, right? The problem that, you know, going back to this idea of Hollywood in all of this, right? The reason why I think a lot of Christians are so easily swayed with the Hollywood thing is that we forget that actors are liars.
Yeah.
You know, we forget that they're paid by us to deceive us. That is literally their job.
To lie.
You know,
to play like it's real.
Yeah. This is one thing that I find to be so humorous is that actors are only famous because we've made them that way.
True.
They think that they are on this pedestal. Well, and they are on a pedestal because there's all these bozos that treat actors as if they're something special.
Yeah. And like in the beginning of the program, I mean, you heard the intro. I mean, basically, you sign this contract and poof, the next day or the next week, they're out there.
Right.
Like, where did this guy come from?
Right.
So, before I play some clips, I'm going to read you. This is the verse that I picked out for the whole topic tonight. 1 Timothy 6:9. I think I'm going to read this first before I show you the clips. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Now then, I'm going to play you these clips. And these are clips of actors, just a handful of actors I picked out from their own mouths that say, they have sold their soul to get rich. And here they are.
Here is actor John Goodman.
There's a big bus, and it had like a 10-foot picture of my face on it. It just, it made me want to go back to Satan worship.
Well, that's, I think
it worked for me. It got me a career.
Here is TV reality star Snooki.
I like to have fun, but also before Jersey Shore, no one believes this when I say it, but I was a freaking, like, shy girl. I was very shy. That's funny that I say it now, but I was really shy. So I was scared to even, like, go to the doctors. So, yeah, I was going to school to be a vet tech, and I was into my studies, getting good grades, and you know what screwed it all up was this one guy. He broke my heart, and I was like, cool, thanks. Wow. I was like, now I have to do something pretty ridiculous and insane with my life. So why not sell my soul and go on Jersey Shore?
Here is actress and comedian Roseanne Barr on The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson.
Funny.
You know, a lot of my book is about my wanting to sing ever since I was a little girl. My family lied to me and told me that I was better than Shirley Temple, and I believe them.
You're not helping a kid when you do that.
No, and I totally believed them and everything. And then when I was six, all of a sudden, you know, I was a has-been, and they started to, like, tell my younger cousin that she was...
The real singer?
Yeah, and it, like, really upset me, so I, like, summoned Satan, and I write about how I made
tell you something, Saint.
In the chapter called Eat, Pray, Love, Conjure Satan. And when I was 12 years old, I signed a deal with Satan in my room, and
CBS doesn't condone this.
Wait a minute. Because I wanted to get famous no matter what, and, you know, then I forgot that I had this deal with Satan and everything, and then I got really famous, and then one day I, like, had this tragic singing accident at
Oh, yes, I remember that, yeah.
And I realized then that Satan was coming for my soul.
Wow. Here's actor and comedian Jim Carrey on the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show.
Is that a gang sign? Have you,
Oh, like you don't know what it is. You don't know what that is.
I have no idea.
You don't know. Jimmy Fallon doesn't know. David Letterman doesn't know.
We don't know.
All the comics and show business don't know what this is. Right? Yeah.
What is it?
Come on, Jimmy. Seriously. The time is up. People...
Okay, I'm going to pause this for a second, because what he's doing is he's making, with his hands, making a triangle with his hands and sticking out his tongue. And so
with his hands pressed against his face, with the triangle around his nose and his mouth.
Yeah, and then sticking out his tongue, mm-hmm. like you would see on a Kiss album. All right.
We're hip to this kind of stuff. I'm here tonight to blow the lid off it, to be the whistleblower. I'm sick and tired of the secrets and the lies. It is the secret symbol of the Illuminati, and you're a part of it, and it is the all-mocking tongue. It's the symbol of the all-mocking tongue. And I'm sick of it. I want everybody to be in on the joke, man. You know what I mean? For years now, talk show hosts, people on television, people in sitcoms have been hired by the government to throw you off the track, to distract you, to make you laugh and stuff like that, make you happy and docile so you don't know what's really going on. You know, when they get out there in the woods in a circle naked and they decide these things. And, you know, look at him. Look at him trying to cover it up. It's hilarious. Hilarious. And, you know,
Jimmy
and
Kim
I'm sick
getting really red here.
You know what they're trying to do?
Who?
This thing is buzzing. Hold on. They're trying to turn us into, consumer drones of some sort. Hold on. I just got to get this.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm in the middle of blowing the lid off some.
What happened?
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I was temporarily interrupted by my iPhone 6 Plus.
666.
This is again.
That's a big one, huh?
5.5 right? Heads-up HD display. I think what I was really trying to say was I think people will enjoy Dumb and Dumber this weekend.
And that is what I thought you were.
So they made a whole joke about it, see? And that was just four people that I showed. Now, some of them were joking about it, but I truly believe Roseanne was confessing there. And, that was on a late show. But
well, the irony of it being Roseanne and John Goodman, both who were, played together for a very long time.
Right.
But again, I think that here's the thing. When listen to the audience, right? The idea of Satan is people are so immune to the fear of Satan.
Right.
He's comical, and that's the biggest.
Are you crazy?
Listen,
Lucifer is one of the hottest new shows on YouTube.
I've never seen it.
Netflix.
Yeah.
And if you add demons, if you add vampires, if you add wizards, if you add anything from the dark side, and Satan himself or Lucifer, I mean, look, we even got movies where angels are coming down from heaven and they're leaving God. I forget what the ones where Michael loses wings and comes down to save mankind because God sent the angels after the baby that's in her womb to stop it from being born and stuff. I mean, they've left the ranch of horror movies. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's always been depicted in horror movies. Now it's in love stories. I mean, what young girl didn't love the hot looking vampires in, what was that,
Twilight or something?
Twilight, yeah. Those guys were good looking. They sparkled in the moonlight.
They're about as white as I was.
And they sparkled in the moonlight, you know. Yeah. And I mean, they're making the dark side out to be wrongfully hated or wrongfully disliked group of people that are actually wonderful, kind, warm. These are all lies.
Yeah.
Okay. They're warming the population up to it. And by the way, remember that in the last days there's only going to be so many countries on the planet, and the UN is going to be in handover. There's going to be a huge problem. And they're going to hand over, they're going to beg the Antichrist to come into power, because guess what? The Antichrist has an ego and he wants to be begged. Go Trump.
Wow. Yeah. Right. Okay, so there you go, guys. It's a handful of actors that I found. There's a lot more. I just didn't get them all, but I have musicians as well. I have a lot more musicians, though, because for whatever reason, musicians want to talk about it, and the actors are more secretive about it. Not sure why that is, but
two sides of the same coin.
Two Kim. Sides of the same coin.
You know, one's heads up, and the other one's tails down.
The musician artists seem to be more freely with talking about it, even though, and as you'll see, and even in actors, I think if you remember right, Jim Carrey, when he did that Dumb and Dumber, that was pretty much when he did that. That's pretty much the last really good film that he did. If
Dumb and Dumber,
yeah.
You mean Hit?
Film. Hit, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and then they started financially going downhill, right? But guys, they're not hiding in the shadows anymore. They're out in front of us. Look at the new thing that guy Chris Angel.
Boy, that's this magician.
Guy, yeah. This magician calls himself Chris Angel.
Christ Angel, right.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's levitating people walking down the street, according to the TV.
But that's just sleight of hand and trick.
But what I'm saying is he has followers in the thousands.
Yeah.
And if these people tell you to believe something or they believe it, then look how many endorsements sports guys get. They could be a pervert in real life, but yet they endorse Nike and they're wonderful. They're superstar basketball players. I mean, I'm not trying to throw anybody in the bus, but look at Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was accused of molesting children. Okay, he left the country. Okay, and to keep from going to jail. Getting arrested.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yet, after his death, he's a superstar again. And all the child molestation stuff is turning into rumor. It's turning into, you know, oh, that was just them trying to trap poor Michael.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, we really, you know, look, we don't know if that's true or not, but honestly, I'm leaning that way, okay? But we don't know for sure. However, what we do know for sure is the musicians now. Now, Bobby, if you weren't swayed by those clips, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. You want to say that's in their comedy? That's fine. Okay. I'm going to play you some that's not in comedy.
Woo!
These are actual musicians.
Okay.
Here is musician, singer-songwriter Bob Dylan.
Why do you still do it? Why are you still out here?
Well, it goes back to the destiny thing. I mean, I made a bargain with it, you know, a long time ago, and I'm holding up my hand.
What was your bargain?
To get where I am now.
Should I ask who you made the bargain with?
with the chief commander.
On this earth?
And on this earth, and then in a world we can't see.
Here is singer, he's not talking about God. Beyonce.
Sasha is my alter ego. And when people see me, sometimes I think that when they meet me and they speak with me,
they're expecting Sasha. And I'm really kind of shy, and not really shy, but more reserved, and nothing like Sasha. But I guess I wouldn't be very entertaining on the stage. So Sasha comes out, and she's fearless. You know, she can do things that I cannot do when I'm in rehearsal. I mean, I can try, but then it just doesn't happen. I can sing notes and sing strong and do all these things that when I'm just by myself, I can't do. And I remember right before I performed, I raised my hands up. And it was kind of the first time I felt something else come into me. And I knew that was going to be my coming out night for the BET Awards.
Here is rapper Nicki Minaj discussing one of her many personalities.
Roman is a crazy boy.
Roman.
Who lives in me, and he says the things that I don't want to say. He was born, just a few months ago. I think he was born out of rage. He was conceived in rage, so he bashes everyone. He threatens to beat people, and he's violent.
That must be nice to have, like, an ignorant loudmouth who you can just sort of blame every...
He wants to be blamed. I don't want to blame him. I ask him to leave, but he can't. He's here for a reason. People have brought him out. People conjured him up. Now he won't leave.
Here is rapper Kanye West live in concert.
I sold my soul to the devil. I know it's a crappy deal. Lisa came with a few toys like a Happy Meal.
Okay, I'm going to pause right there for a second. I have more, but about the Kanye West thing. Okay, so after he did that concert,
yeah.
Oh, man, the news and everything was going ballistic and calling him insane and that he was crazy. And what he was trying to do is tell the truth at his concert, and they shut him up.
How is he telling the truth?
Come on, did you hear him? He was saying that he sold his soul to the devil, and it was a crappy deal, but at least it was like getting toys like in the Happy Meal. Not verbatim, but yeah.
But listen, that's just lyrical talk, though, dude. Like, that's like people. Have you ever seen 8 Mile?
Yes.
Okay.
With Eminem. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like you say things that are hyperbole.
Okay. Then why did they shut him up?
But you say because that's just what the people. He's a Trump supporter. That's why they're always going to shut up the Trump supporters. but check this out, man. I mean, hyperbole is the name of the game when it comes to rapping. So I don't know. I kind of take that with a grain of salt.
All right. Here we go. We'll continue. Maybe you're not swayed yet.
Here is rocker Marilyn Manson.
Well, I'm very much into philosophy, a lot of different that philosophers that I've read over the years, like Nietzsche, Darwin, Freud, Aleister Crowley, and finally Anton LaVey, and fortunately he's, you know, still alive, so I got to meet with him and talk about his ideas and things like that. And in America, Satanism is sensationalized and kind of misunderstood, and people associate it with worshiping the devil and things like that. But it's really a philosophy about individuality and self-preservation. It's about, being your own God.
I'm going to pause it again. What he's describing there, Jack, correct me if I'm wrong, is humanism.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, and that's the New Age Satanism.
Yeah, that's just another word for Satanism.
Right, and Satan doesn't care what you worship as long as you're not worshiping God.
Right.
Okay, that's why there's so many thousands of little G's, gods, that have risen on the planet. Okay, Satan doesn't care if you worship yourself. As long as you're not worshiping God, because the consequences are the same. When it all ends, you're his. Mm. Okay? And right now it's a numbers game. And the numbers are going with Satan. Okay? As it says, the door is narrow to Christ, through Christ. Okay? And few, what does it say? Few will enter.
Yes.
Okay. The rest are going to follow the pack. And they're going to follow the celebrities, and they're going to follow the musicians, and they're going to follow the athletes that are professing Satan, that are doing things of Satan. And they're going to follow all these popular people, their favorite politician. Okay. They're going to follow them into hell.
Right.
Okay. And there's going to be massive amounts of them. And I keep going back to the Old Testament. You know, I like the beginning of things. When the door closed on the ark, there were only 8 people on that ark.
Yeah. I'd say that's pretty narrow.
Right? And there's one door.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That got closed. And all the rest of the people thought it was crazy until the door closed, I bet you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay.
I wouldn't even say that. They were laughing as the door closed. It wasn't until the water started to rise.
Right. Well, guess what? Today is the same thing. We're telling them to believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
What was the message that God had Noah tell the people? There's going to come a rain and the entire planet is going to be flooded. Trust in the Lord and climb on the ark with me. Right?
All right.
Okay. So, in other words, he was saying the same thing, that he was telling them a truth that they
didn't want to hear.
They didn't want to hear it. Well, not only that, they did not know of such a thing as rain. It hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guess what?
So he was a conspiracy theorist.
He's a conspiracy theorist. He was one of the originals. Okay. The
original one. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So guess what? Now then, it was once again faith without seeing.
Yeah.
They couldn't see the rain. They'd never seen rain. They don't know who God is. They've never seen God. They don't know what about the Holy Spirit. I'm on Facebook and places in prayer chains that are worldwide, and I was a member of those, and there's people asking questions. They think they're Christians, and they're asking questions that only a non-Christian would ask. If you have the Holy, here's the deal. If you have the Holy Spirit inside you and your body is now a temple of the living God.
Yeah.
Are you going to carry that temple into sexual discourse?
Mm.
Are you going to make the Holy Spirit go with you and endure your lust for adultery, your lust for small children, your lust for animals, your lust for other men or men, you know, same-sex relationships? Mm. Are you going to push that Holy Spirit and your body, the temple of God, into a sexual relationship that demeans him and, according to the Word of God, is an abomination to him? I know I keep saying abomination to him. Okay, he says that the word says that it is done to infuriate him. So there's one unforgivable sin. And there's so many theories on this. And the one unforgivable sin is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Denying the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Denying the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
What about taking the Holy Spirit into the bedchambers and making that Holy Spirit reside in you and abide in you while you commit an abomination to God? Abomination to God. Is that blasphemy of the Spirit that's within you?
Well, wow. Let's continue.
Oh, I said we stay light tonight,
rocker,
right?
Rocker and songwriter Trent Reznor. Of 9 Inch Nails.
We do have one more phone call, so why don't we take that too? Hello?
Hi.
Hi,
this is Wendy from Cerritos.
Hi, Wendy, what's your question?
I was wondering if there's any significance in the backwards N in 9 Inch Nails.
The backwards N. Is it a logo thing, or did you decide that there was a portion of your life that was backward?
No, we do worship the devil, but...
Yeah, I remember having that conversation.
Here is singer, entertainer, Katy Perry.
Hey,
You're doing really well now, but didn't you release a CD like almost 10 years ago?
I released a gospel record when I was 15 because I grew up in a household where all I ever did was listen to gospel music, and my parents are both traveling ministers, and so I kind of sang about, you know, what was going on in my life at 15, and that's how I got introduced to the music industry. Because I swear I wanted to be like the Amy Grant of music.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out, and so I sold my soul to the devil.
Here is rocker Billy Corgan, singer of the Smashing Pumpkins.
God bless. The problem is that there's not enough money in music as a business model, where in television and vis-a-vis the advertisers and movies, there's so much money that the controlling forces still circle around the stars in the right way. Stars are taken care of better in those industries. In the music industry, it's still very much this exploitative thing. It's still very much people signing their life away, you know, the old deal with the devil stuff. That is still going on. It's unbelievable in this day and age that is still going on.
Is he a part
of that? Rapper DMX.
I think he was just explaining what goes on. I don't know if he was a part of that or not.
Because did you catch that he at the very, very beginning of it, he said, God bless.
Yeah, well, because now he works for Fox News, I believe, or Fox, something with Fox.
Interesting.
I don't know if you knew that, but.
No, I didn't. That's fun.
Yeah. I've seen him on there several times. So Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins. Man, I remember when he had songs blaspheming.
Oh, yeah,
God,
big time.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. I don't know if he's a believer now or not, but that'd be great if he was. Anyway, this is rapper DMX.
Mm. I remember one day coming from the studio at 6 o'clock in the morning and pulling over on the highway. We like four cars, you know, just to watch the sunrise. And it was at that point that I fell in love with Arizona. I said, you know what, this has to be God's country. You know, because I'd never seen anything as beautiful as that sunrise. Then I met the devil in God's country. You know, and it's not so much who. It's what, you know, what happens and the things that the devil does. It's not so much a person, even though he acts through people. You know, you can't call one person the devil.
Joe Arpaio?
You know, you can't call any one person the devil. You can't do that because no one person has enough power to be the devil.
Here is rapper Mystify.
One night I was in my home studio and it had to be like 8 to 10 people off in there. And we had beats and stuff playing in the background and everything. That's how we used to do it. You know what I'm saying? Everybody doing what they do, smoking, drinking, and everything. And actually, it came down to it that dudes actually started being used by demonic spirits. And these spirits started speaking through them. You know what I'm saying? Devils started speaking through them, talking to me, asking me, you know what I'm saying, if I was going to sell my soul, telling me what I needed to do to take my career to the next level in darkness. I mean, dudes actually came up to me holding wads of money, saying, man, don't you want to make all this money? If those demonic spirits was real, if the devil was real, you know what I'm saying, and he was offering me a way, then I knew that God was real. For the next 7 days, I continued actually to hear the demonic spirit still propositioning me to sell my soul, you know what I'm saying, in exchange for fortune and wealth or whatever in that music game, you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, Mystify, and there you go. Those are my clips for that. And
hey, so really quick, while those clips are going on, I did a quick search on Billy Corgan.
Yes,
and he actually Billy Corgan reveals how Jesus Christ helped him to avoid suicide.
Awesome.
He's definitely he's found Christ. So that's pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
The Mystify statement. You know, here's the thing: is that I bet you that it was 100% accurate, right? But there's also the possibility that it was what? Hyperbole, right? It was an exaggeration. The reason why is, again, because what did I tell you at the very beginning? I told you about my daughter. And you told me about your daughter.
Yeah.
And what happens when we have a story that's just not quite as entertaining as we want it to be?
So you're saying they're exaggerating?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I think there's a good possibility.
What you're saying, Robert, is that if we had 4,000 of these out there,
it doesn't matter
as long as they're saying it.
Listen, I'm not denying the fact that Satan is there, right? But what I am saying is that I don't necessarily believe that he is quite as I don't know how to, because I'm not denying that he's in involved Tinseltown, right?
Okay.
I'm not denying that, but do I think that he is the go to as these clips are portraying? I don't think so. I don't know, man. It's just really hard for me to, because again, you're picking out specific people, right? You're just picking out specific people and saying
in their own words, though. But I'm not saying they're saying.
But that's fine. But Katy Perry, right? What if there is a Kathy Perry?
Huh?
What I'm getting at is that Kathy Perry is just like Katy Perry, just as successful. But are you going to say that Kathy Perry is a devil worshiper too because Katy Perry was?
No. What he's saying is that there's those that came out and said that Kathy Perry might not do that.
Okay? Yeah, but look Kathy at Amy Grant. Why? I mean, Amy Grant is a Christian. Amy Grant has became successful despite her faith in God, right?
Right.
So
look, I'm not saying all actors, all actresses. I'm not saying all musicians sign the deal with the devil. I mean, there are many avenues of success.
But trying to say that the successful ones do.
I'm not even saying that.
And that's the way it's coming across. Okay.
What? No, but do you bring up those that are famous, or do you bring up the ones that aren't famous? I mean, if Satan makes a deal like he tried to do with Christ in the Bible. He said, look upon this. He showed him everything of the earth. And he says, look upon this. I can give this all to you.
Yeah.
You will rule everything. You will be in power. You'll blah, blah. Just bow down to me.
I've got it right here in Matthew 4, the whole story.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. You know, so this is what I'm saying. Jesus was tempted.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I've heard the story. Okay. I'm not trying to say that Satan doesn't tempt. What I'm telling you is that I feel as if it's this idea that all of Hollywood is
But
I said in the beginning, I'm sorry,
but there is
they're drinking the fetuses of abortion babies.
here's the deal, guys. I said somebody said something to me, and just the Holy Spirit replied back to them. And I said, every decision that you make on planet Earth, every decision you make in your daily life tells God whether or not you're backing him or not backing him.
Right.
And there's only two options. You are either working for God or you're working against God.
Even if you think you're working just for yourself.
Right.
Yes.
But if you're not working for God, then you're just working for yourself, or you're working for Satan, and you don't even know it.
You don't know it.
It's just like that movie we talked to start this thing with movies, okay? And just like in The Matrix, when they're in the training seminar,
mm-hmm.
and he's walking through all these people, and he just seems to, Morpheus seems to just walk through them with ease, okay? Like he's all powerful, and they just move out of his way for him. And he's talking to Neo, and he's trying to teach Neo. And he says, now, will you listen to me, or are you checking out the woman in the red? Okay.
Yeah.
And he looks back, and all of a sudden there's an agent with a gun in his face. And he said, now, listen, anyone that is not disconnected from the system can be used by one of these at any time. That was the evil side. The evil side likes to tell us what they're doing.
Yes.
So that they can always say, we warned you. We told you. They might say it in a comic mode. They might say it in a movie. But you're comparing it to the
movie, the Richard Pryor movie you were talking about.
Right. They're telling us in these movies, Hollywood is telling us in our TV series, in our cartoon shows, they're telling us what they want from us.
I'm not denying that Hollywood is trying to push an agenda, right?
Well, it's not just Hollywood.
But look at this. So you got Disney, right? Disney is pushing the homosexuality upon our children. I see that. I get that, right? But that's not is that the work of Satan?
Well, now if you go through the Disney movies, and I've actually looked at several, and if you go through the Disney movies, the people that they credit in the movies for success are, for instance, one of the cartoon characters was an alien, okay, and And then in another movie, my favorite, one of my favorites, Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
She's a witch.
Yeah.
With powers.
She's not a witch.
Oh, that's a soft introduction to witchery. She sure. comes flying in, floating in on an umbrella. Okay.
Mary Poppins.
And when yeah. the wind changes.
But she's a good one, right?
But she's a good witch. Yeah. yeah, good witches. And then look at the new one, the one that is most popular.
Frozen?
Frozen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They're witches. They're ice witches. Okay. With ice power, magic powers. Okay. And then look at the one with the cartoon show Brave. This is all about women's liberation, empowering young girls, empowering women to make their own decisions in life and not listen to their fathers and their mothers, okay? Because the father and the mother had a course that all the women had go through that are
yeah, but let's that. Be real. In that movie, Brave, it also shows the consequences of not listening and trying to do your own thing. What happens?
But it also shows the power of witchcraft.
Okay.
And the yep. and the abilities that you have to change the world
but
through
let
witchcraft.
Me, let me some ask
of
you
it,
this.
But it does show you that some of it can turn out negative.
Yeah.
Okay. But in the end, it was magic that turned her mother back into a human, and it was magic that saved him from the bear, the big bear.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you start looking at all these movies that Disney's put out, I'm a Disney fan, guys. I got Mickey Mouse on my walls in there. My wife.
We have Mickey
kids.
Mouse on the show tonight.
Yes, and my wife, and my kids love going to Disneyland, Disney World, all that stuff. I think we vacation there more than we do most places. Okay,
you do. I know.
And so what I'm saying is that I have the Holy Spirit inside me. I don't have to worry about somebody twisting my brain. Okay, because the Holy Spirit is my what do they call that discerner. Okay, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit inside you, then you could fall for any of these things. You could start buying into environmentalism. You could buy into feminism. But God set an order for the family, and the man is the head of the household. It wasn't Eve that caused the blood curse on mankind. It was Adam. Nothing happened when Eve took the ate of the fruit, except her eyes were opened.
Mm-hmm.
But after Adam ate the fruit,
that's when the consequences came.
That's when the consequences came, because right. God put the man in charge. And men are now willing to hand over the power of their marriage, the power of the leading the home, power of teaching their children good and wrong. The power, all of our schools have a lot of women that are teachers in it. Our churches are being, even some of the churches, the boys are being taught by women instead of men in their boy groups, like, you know, Royal Ambassadors and things like that. And so what I'm saying is that feminism, they do things in a gradual way. I talked once about how do you boil a frog?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't throw a frog in a hot pot. It'll just jump, it'll go, whoa, and jump right out, right?
Right.
Okay. But you take this frog out of the pond it came from, or the water it came from, and you put it in a pot that's got a similar degree of water that the thing came from. And it's clean water. And the frog says, wow, this is cleaner than where I live. This is pretty nice in here. And you gradually, you turn on the burner and you just barely turn it on. And it starts to warm up just a touch. And the frog goes, wow, this is kind of relaxing. This is pretty cool. I like this. I can do this. And you turn up a little bit more. And gradually you turn up a little more until the water's boiling. Hey, jacuzzi, this is nice. And next thing you know, the frog is cooked. Okay. And it was alive until it was dead, killed. Okay. The way Satan works in every aspect of our life
is gradual, because he's gradual. Got time. We don't.
Right.
I mean, we only have, what, 100 years, 120 max?
Right.
Okay.
And we have less time than him. He does have a timeline, an ending date. But his time is at the end. Our time is seasonal compared to his.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And his deal is to This is going to really get you guys. His deal is to do God's work. Now, hear what I'm saying.
I know.
Hear what I'm saying. When Job, when God challenged him with Job, he gave him a challenge to test Job. And Job was very faithful. God is allowing Satan to test you. Because God told Satan about Job. He said, you can do anything you want to him, but you can't kill him.
Right.
Okay? So Satan has a job. His job is to test us. His job is to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Oh, I 100% okay. agree to that. I think that Satan, and here's the thing, is that he's just so incredibly full of himself that he may not even realize that he's an active participant
right.
in that. Or he does, but he's convinced that when the time comes, he'll be able to surpass it, right?
Right. And that's what where I'm going with this, guys, is if you do not have the Holy Spirit inside you, then these temptations, these falsehoods, these lies, it says in the Bible, God says that in the last days he will be so bold, as Robert says, he'd be so bold that he'll even try to deceive the elect. Well, how is he going to do that? Well, the only way to do that is to get into the churches and be active and appear as an angel of light.
And I'll tell you what, we'll talk about that briefly. I think we're going to go on one more break, as I say, to pay the bills. We got one more quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Satan and his involvement in how his involvement in media is translating into the involvement into the church.
Right. And I do have one more clip. So when we come back, I'll show you that. So we'll be right back. This is Let's Get Jacked Up.
After these messages, we'll be right back. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Do you want to know what it is?
This is Let's Get Jacked Up.
Remember to like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Let's Get Jacked Up. Check out our website at letsgetjackedup.com. Listen and download our episodes from our website, the Spreaker app, and of course at fringeradionetwork.com.
This is Tim Parrish for a Doc T Sports segment. Since it's the NHL Stanley Cup Finals this week, I thought it would be great to hear a very good testimony by Nashville Predators hockey star and husband of country star Carrie Underwood, Mike Fisher. Mike has had an incredible career in the NHL and retired from the NHL as a Nashville Predator in February of 2018. Here now is his story.
I'd get the question, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it was an NHL hockey player. That's all I wanted to do. I remember just the anticipation. I loved to compete. I loved the speed of it. I loved to score. Grew up in Peterborough, Ontario. Peterborough was a hockey town, so it was filled with hockey rinks, balancing that with school and church and family. At 6 years old, I was about to go to school, and I asked my mom if I could ask the Lord into my heart. And I still remember where, and on my knees, and prayed with my mom. At six, I don't know if you really understand everything. You definitely don't, but it's definitely a start. I left home at 17. I was drafted into the Ontario Hockey League, so I went away at 17 and left family and friends and security of, you know, kind of home church. And I was playing with 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And I struggled. I was trying too much to maybe fit in, and I was focusing for so long on what I can't do. I can't swear, I can't drink, can't have sex, can't do all these things. Meanwhile, inside, I'm not focusing on that relationship. It was hockey took over. At 19, I make it to the NHL, and I'm making a great salary. I made it. made my childhood dream, and everything was great on the exterior. The interior, not good at all. Yeah, I remember signing my first contract. I was 19 years old. Kind of a little bit unbelievable. You know, that should have been, that's every kid's dream, is to sign a contract. And I remember going out that night to a bar, getting drunk, making bad decision, and waking up the next morning feeling like the worst piece of crap that I could ever feel like. There's a lot of inside feelings of a lot of different things. I was letting people down. I was letting God down, trying to hide, trying to pretend like everything was great. Still go to church, but maybe be hungover. Not really into it, but just putting up a kind of a facade. When I did a Bible study with my cousin, who I was living with at the time, at the age of about 22, I get to a scripture, and it's Luke 9, 23 to 25, and it says, if you want to be a follower of me, you have to put aside your own selfish desires, shoulder your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you'll lose it, but if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul in the process? I remember that scripture just kind of hitting me, and that was for me, because I'd reached my dreams. I had money and everything I thought was cool and just wasn't working, and I knew the answer, but I hadn't been looking for it in the right places. And through a process of just praying and getting in the Word with my cousin, my life was changed. And for the first time, I remember thinking, man, this is really real. It wasn't because of my parents. It wasn't because I was supposed to be in church, but it became real to me. It didn't happen overnight, but slowly God changed me on the inside, and I started to not worry about the dullness, but just focus on just pursuing Him. And slowly God started to just bring up stuff, started to confess things in my life that I wasn't proud of, and slowly God just kind of released that. It wasn't religion anymore, it was a real relationship. That was awesome.
I don't know about you, but praying can be really hard. How do you know what to say? How long should you spend praying? And most importantly, how do you keep from falling asleep? This is Chips Ross, pastor of Westwood Baptist Church in Fresno, California. A big help for me in growing my prayer life has been praying with others, out loud, with mistakes, time and time again. Yes, God answers prayer. He answers your prayers as you pray by yourself. But God also answers prayer when prayed by His people, together, out loud. In Acts 4, the church gathered to pray about persecution. God answered with an earthquake and with giving boldness to His people to witness. In Acts 12, the church prayed again and God answered, delivering Peter from death row. In Acts 13, the church fasted and prayed and God directed them to call and send out missionaries. In 1 Samuel 7, Israel fasted and prayed, confessing their idolatry. God forgave them of their sin, plus gave them a thunderous victory over the Philistines. And when Judah was surprised by three invading armies, they gathered together to pray. God answered with a plan, the people praised, and God brought a surprise blessing. You'll find the story in 2 Chronicles 20, and it's worth reading. Yes, praying is hard. It may be awkward for a time, but Christian, you need to pray. And Christians, you need to pray together. There are some things God will only do when His people gather together and pray.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Welcome back to the show. This is Let's Get Jacked Up on Fringe Radio Network. Now it's here with Jack, Tim, and Bobby.
Fringe Radio Network. Yes, show. Let's get jacked up on the Fringe Radio Network.
Let's get right back on topic, shall we? Yes. Thank you so much, Pastor Chips, for that insight. It's always a blessing to hear your voice. But let's keep moving forward with this agenda of ours, with this idea.
Yeah.
Now I have to tell you, after our little brief talk over break, I am starting to feel a little bit more on the same page as you guys. Okay, after actually seeing the videos that you just showed me of the audio clips, right?
Yes.
So let's talk some more about it.
Well, okay. So I do have one more clip for everybody. Okay, this is from a actress and a model, I guess former model. That's right. So her name is what's up?
Turn the volume up just a touch.
Oh,
I'm trying to get your attention, but you're face deep.
How's that?
There you go.
Yeah, her name is Rose McGowan.
McGowan.
Yeah, you know her. Yeah, she was on Charmed, Scream, Encino Man, and plus a lot of other stuff. But this is her explaining what Hollywood actually really is.
Pair Hollywood to the Children of God cult, in that you say that Hollywood is a cult. Will you explain that to us?
Well, it's the same kind of coercive power structure that you were describing, you know, and it operates in secrecy. And most people think that what happens in Hollywood, it's just, that's Hollywood, it's over there. But it goes out to the world, you know, it's the messaging system for our minds. It's the mirror we're given to look into from such an early age. And it's a really narrow group of people making these films. And so it's a mirror that's really, it's like a messed up mirror. Here's what you are as a man, here's what you are as a girl, here's what you are as a woman, here's what you are as a boy. And it twists your head, and you have to be really, really careful when you're there. And I think people need to be careful even when they're casually watching movies or TV. Start looking at the information they're giving you, not just in the lines.
Okay, and that's from an actress, folks, from Hollywood.
Yeah.
And that's such a great, that's what we say.
That's what I was saying earlier.
Yeah,
yeah. And there's when you go back and look at the movies. Okay, for instance, one of my favorite movies of all time, I watch it every Christmas, is It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah,
and one of the statements on there is that the capitalist guy, his name's Potter, and he's the richest, meanest ogre Republican kind of guy. Penny pinching. He already has so much money he couldn't possibly spend it, but he wants people to live in his nasty built shacked rentals. And and here's what's his name? Jimmy Stewart. Yeah, and Jimmy Stewart.
I don't know.
And he said, and his character in there says, well, you know, isn't it the talking about the people that live in the town? And he says, is it too much to ask that they live in a decent bath and blah, 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 and a bedroom and a house, you know, while they're paying all these taxes to you, you know, to the bankers and to the government and everything, instead of living in shacks and stuff. And basically makes his dad out to be a hero. That his dad, you know, was willing to fight through the savings and loan organization that they created to help poor people get into nicer homes and through the savings and loan, okay? And at about this time, savings and loans really started rocketing up on the planet, okay? You don't hear much about them now, but at that time, they were pretty, you know, big. Now they're, you know, many of them gone bankrupt. But they were government funded, government supported, socialist supported, and I love this movie. It's one of my favorites. It reminds me that everybody's important in life, and because in the movie, he wished that he'd never been born, and so an angel takes him back and shows him what the world would be if he'd never been born, and all the people that he influenced in his life, and the movie has two messages in it. One is greater than the other one, but the good one, but the negative one is very prevalent. But I didn't catch it at first. It didn't dawn on me when I first started watching the movie, but then I look back and I'm thinking, wow, now since it's the 21st century and socialism is rearing its ugly head in this great country called America. Mm. I look back on this, and it was a promotion of socialism. Mm-hmm. And it's clear as day.
Boris Day?
But, yeah. But I didn't see it then.
Right.
I see it now, looking back.
Yeah.
Okay? And so that's like Planet Captain Planet.
Yes.
Okay? It's a fun, great cartoon. I watched it with my kids. Mm-hmm. Okay? But then, guess what? We have a overbearing regulatory system because of environmentalism now.
Well, you know what's great about that show, too, now just thinking about it? Do you remember Captain Planet, right? But who did they go to for advice? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Gaia.
Did they go to Gaia? They guess what? Gaia is a big religion that's exploding on the planet right now.
Gaia.
There's a whole. It's in the prisons now. It's really going big. The other part of that I saw, as I pointed out earlier, was on Captain Planet. They used the power of the crystals. No. How many movies have been out talking about the power of these rocks?
Oh, man.
About different crystals, okay? Look at, by the way, Star Wars. Guess what makes their super powerful lightsabers?
Crystals.
Crystals.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. And so there's certain elements about all this. Was it Jim Carrey talking about a bunch of naked guys in the woods? Who was that clip from that you played?
From Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. Well, guess what? There's a whole organization like the Bilderbergers. Mm-hmm. The presidents, most of the presidents have been involved in this, and they worship an owl.
They go up California here in the mountains
forest. Five locations deep in the forest where it's all private, right?
Yeah, and they go and they have these rituals. They call them mock rituals, but I don't know if they're really mock.
Now, who is it that does this? You're saying?
Oh,
presidents of the United States.
Some of
them.
The power. Yeah.
The power brokers in the world. They go to these seance type things where they worship owls.
Alex Jones. Opened that up.
And their secret locations. They're under armed military type guards. Okay, you can't get in.
A movie called Hoot where they try to save a spotted owl? Is this the kind of stuff you're talking about?
No.
They worship an owl.
Right. They have a statue of an owl, a giant wood owl type thing that is in front of what looks like an open air church.
Yeah.
You know, and they have rituals and traditions that they do. And what's really crazy is when you start looking at how many presidents have been and men of power all over the planet have been part of these secret societies and that worship stuff like this, that have been involved in these things. You know, what was a conspiracy when I was a kid that they said was conspiracies?
Is now
normal. Yeah. It's true. And so, you know, where the... These are the conspiracies if they're actually true, but you don't know they're true till later.
It's not, no, you gotta clarify, it's conspiracy theory, right?
Because
conspiracies are a real thing, right? It's the conspiracy theories, right?
But if it's a conspiracy theory, if it actually is accurate,
it's still
true.
A conspiracy, but it's just an accurate conspiracy. It's not just a theory,
right?
Yeah. So every summer they go to this place called Bohemian Grove up there in Northern California, I think it is, and they do these seances and rituals, and they have parties, and it's very satanic. And Alex Jones blew these doors wide open on it. We'll have to talk about that one day. But I will say this, that this is just an introduction to what goes on in Hollywood. Mm. This is just to open it up.
Well,
okay,
so let me tell you, I'm eager to get into another episode of this because, like I said, I came into this kind of blindly because I was just like, you guys are so dumb.
Thank you.
I know. but here's the thing is that I'm starting to see it a little bit more now, and I'm going to do my due diligence. I'm going to do my research on it. That thing you're showing me about the bloodletting thing or whatever.
So I was researching, man.
And we'll get into that.
Yeah,
but
Marina
here's the thing.
Abramovich.
Don't bring it up now. But my big thing is this, is that after seeing that for my own eyes, I mean, that's totally – that. It is changing my perspective of things, right?
Yeah.
Because, dude, and I'm not easily swayed. All right. Well, you know that I'm a stubborn goat when it comes to this stuff.
You are stubborn as it comes.
So thanks. But I'm eager because I want to do my, I don't think it'll be next week, but maybe we'll give it, maybe it could be next week, but I want time to actually do the research myself.
Yes.
And because I'm curious to see what I could find because I don't want to scrutinize it through your eyes and through your perspective. Yeah. I want to do it through my own. And no offense, because I feel like when it comes to these things, I tend to be a little bit more logical because I'm not is tempted the right word to just throw a conspiracy theory at whatever it is that I'm looking at. You know?
Yeah.
Would you say that that's more founded kind of thinking, or because your structure of being in the educational field?
Nothing to do with that. No, I just I'm not afraid to look at something and say, yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what it is. With that being said, we're coming to a close of the show.
Right.
And
it is such a deep rabbit hole, folks.
It is.
And this is just an introduction.
I mean, let's be real. If this was Alice in Wonderland, we haven't really even fallen down the hole yet, right?
Right.
We haven't had, our dress hasn't caught us in a parachute style to float down. So the thing is this, okay?
Go ahead.
We're wrapping up. If you guys know something about this, I want you to throw us a link on our email, throw us a link on our Facebook page, be actively involved, give us your
Call
name
us
so that we can
show.
Give you the credit for it. Because the thing is that I can guarantee you, YouTube is a huge world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's just as many dark places in YouTube as there is in the web itself, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is send us links to places that'll help us to kind of shine the light on this darkness in Hollywood, if it's really there. I'm starting to sway that way, but I'm still kind of like, nah.
Well, they didn't think wrestling was rigged either, WWF, and then until it was proven, it was all choreographed, But
well, that's just for the naive folk.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, all right.
You watch it, you know it's fake, but you watch it because it's entertaining.
Right.
Oh, there you go. Wait a minute. What was that word?
Entertaining.
And guess
watch
what?
It?
I'm not putting anybody down. I'm not promoting anybody either. But I was looking for religious channels on. I got Sirius in my truck and I was looking for channels where I could listen to, gospel music, preaching, things like that while I travel. And I've had several people tell me, "Oh, you need to check out Joel Osteen."
Oh, gosh.
Okay, one
no
second.
Way.
Let me.
Okay.
Like you said,
yes,
I got to listen to it with open mind.
All right.
And for myself. And so I started looking for Joel Osteen. And I looked. Religion, I couldn't find him. Yeah. Ministries, couldn't find him. I gave up. It was nowhere to be found in missions, ministries, religion, faith, nothing. And so then there's another block over here, and it says under entertainment.
Ah.
So I start looking at entertainment, and boom, he pops up. He's got three shows. And I'm like, what does one guy need with three channels? Okay. And it has three channels that he's on. One of them is his. Okay, and I'm like, wow, he's not under faith, he's not under religion, he's not under missions or ministry, he's under entertainment. So this blew my mind, okay, because now you have to think about things in a whole different light.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But let's be fair. Now, where are we categorized?
We are under entertainment as well.
So.
However, but we're not preachers. This is a show.
But that's not... So you're justifying it? Is that what you're doing?
Well, preaching.
Well, no, there's a difference between... Okay, when you're talking about preaching the word...
Listen, I think Joel Osteen is a man full of toxic gases
but,
in his brain. But
you got to understand something, Bobby. I was... I listen to ministries and preachers. I mean, I even listen to... One of the ones I listen to is from the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I'm saying is that you if you're a preacher and you're preaching, then it should be under ministry or preaching or religious, right? And but if it's entertainment, which we're entertainment, there's Bible in this, there's comparison with God's word and politics and society.
Yeah, we don't always.
But this is not a preaching. This is not I like to call it a dry and gaggy. Okay, we're not sitting here giving you a lecture. Okay.
Yeah. Some weeks we talk about politics.
Try not to. Jag does, but not.
Some weeks we talk about politics. Other weeks we talk about testimonies or stories.
Right.
And so it's not always just preaching. We're not preaching.
Right. Right. And
we're talking.
And we're talking. And that's why it's a three-person talk show.
Yeah.
It's not just one guy sitting there going through it. You can find a lot of podcasts. My church has that same podcast. Okay. But what I'm saying is they're registered as ministries, as that kind of thing. Those that are entertaining like us are registered under entertainment. But then I listened to Joel Osteen in an interview, and he said something that really didn't sit right with me. And it was this. He said, my wife and I do not collect a salary from the church. He said, we make all of our money through book sales, tape sales, video sales, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
he's not obligated to the church because
Right. He's not a minister of the church per se, which he is the minister of the church. But what this told me, what this said to me, if I step back and look at this through a microscope and dissect it, it means that his church and those that follow his church that are entertained by his ministry are his market group, demographic for sales. Okay. When you do advertising, you itemize like ages 20 to 35. You might want seniors 55 to 75. You might want whites only, middle class, you might want the poor, you might want blacks or Hispanic or Japanese, you might market to a certain group. Mm-hmm. That's called your market. Well, the church or the people that are listening to him are his market. Mm-hmm. And he sells them videos, tapes, books, and all kinds of stuff. And that's how he gets his money. It takes his church from being a ministry to being his customer base, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Okay, so he sells cruises around the world with speakers. He sells, they have events where they, speaking events where they have all kinds of speakers. They have music events. They have, it's like a huge entertainment metropolis. He's basically copying Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a show, you know, and therefore it's entertainment.
Right.
So his labeling is correct, but his customer base are unsuspecting Christians. They're mm-hmm. being sold goods and services.
Well, and they think they're getting religion. Well, it's not even naive Christians. It's lazy Christians. Because if you are an active participant in Christ, you will be able to see through this man very easily. But the
sorry,
the reality,
it was real easy for me.
Yeah, well, I know, and that's
yeah.
It.
You actually never said your conclusion on him, but
yeah, no. My conclusion is that I won't listen to Joel Osteen.
Well, that's good.
Because to me, he's a
charlatan.
Well, you know what an insurance salesman is, right?
A salesman?
No. An insurance salesman is someone that sells you something that you will never have benefit of. In other words, you... Life insurance.
Right.
Yes. So you, life insurance salesman sells you an insurance that, if not caught up in legal battle, your children or your beneficiaries will get the money from. Okay, but you'll never see a dime of it.
Yeah.
Okay, while you're still blinking. There's also life assurances. Mm. And there's life assurance salespeople. And these are people that aren't that pose as ministers, but they present Christianity in an assurance. here, buy this, pay this, dress like this, act like this, do this, and I'll assure that you're going to get into heaven. Okay? Buy my new video series. By the way, the Holy Spirit's spoken through me quite a bit and in my lifetime. But I don't have a license to sell the products that the Holy Spirit gives. Okay? The second thing is if it came from God, the Bible says what you've received freely, give freely. So if I tried to sell the gospel to, or my interpretation of the gospel to anybody, then it would cease being freely given to me, and then it would become my property because I'm now can only sell my property.
Right.
So is it God's property or is it His property?
Hmm. Well, we're going to go ahead and quickly end this, but before we do, I'm going to just say this: if there's somebody out there today that has either been wondering if they want to go to this, get fame and riches and all this, guys, it is a trap. You need to be careful. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is. You don't have to agree with it. That is just the way it is. The Bible says so. I believe the Bible. All three of us believe the Bible. But if you're out there and you've been into this movies, you've been into music, and you've been famous, maybe you're listening. And you don't think there's a way out. You don't think, well, you know, I've sold my soul to the devil, whatever that means. Maybe you've signed this contract and they make you do things, awful things to get into this. I don't know. I've never been in that position, but maybe you have. And no matter what you've done in your life, even murder, rape, molestation, anything, Jesus can forgive you. That's why He died on the cross for Amen. Our sins. He was the ultimate blood sacrifice.
His blood overwrites and blots out that contract that you believe that you signed with Satan.
That's right.
You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to feel like you're in debt to Satan, that he ultimately owns your soul and because you signed a contract.
That's a lie.
With him, it's a lie. And if you believe it, it works. But if you believe in Jesus Christ and that His blood paid for all sins and that there is no unforgivable sin except for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and then that's what's going to save you. Okay, Jesus was crucified and died and shed His blood so that no person would end up in hell.
Well, you got to clarify too that Jesus Christ is a living sacrifice.
Yes.
He died, His heart stopped, His blood separated, okay? He was buried dead, cold body dead. 3 days later, rose again. His death sacrifice and then living, coming back up to life represents a living sacrifice. That means that His sacrifice is a permanent solution to our sin and allows for our salvation. Because Old Testament, before Jesus Christ, you had one choice. If you wanted to atone for your sins, you had to kill a living thing and sacrifice it to God.
Yeah.
God said, you know what? This is not good enough. It's never been good enough. I've allowed it to be good enough just because you guys are so broken. But I am ready for a clean redemption, a permanent solution to this problem. So He sent His Son. And when we sin and have repented from our sin and truly turned away from it, Jesus Christ takes it upon Himself. He becomes our mediator. So when we stand before God, and God has a full list, because when we go to heaven, there is going to be an accountability given. There's going to be a list of every single sin you've ever done. Jesus Christ is going to take the blame for all of it. But it's still going to start off with us standing before God and a full list of things that we've done. Mm. And if Jesus Christ isn't there, you get the payment for all of those sins. But with Jesus Christ as your side, by your side, standing in front of you, between God and you, He's taking that blame. He's taking the credit for all of the mistakes you've done in your life. And by doing that, Jesus Christ is seen as dirty, and God sees us as clean.
Amen.
And that is the greatest thing that we could ever have. Jesus Christ is the living sacrifice. We don't have to kill anything. Because we, I mean, it's cliche, but we kill Christ every time we sin.
The penalty.
And atone for our sins. So it doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus Christ is the cure-all for our sins. So long as we accept him as the only way to God, he's the only key to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The only key to heaven. If we accept that, if we accept that he is the Son of God, that he died for us, and that he is our clean slate.
Right.
And let's be real, that's a clean slate on a daily basis. We're sinners. There's nothing we can do to be perfect other than accepting Jesus Christ. There's no works that can get us into heaven other than accepting Jesus Christ. That's it.
And if you are one of those that has signed one of those bad contracts, you know there's another side. You know the dark side already. Just like Jack did when he was growing up, okay, in his past life. He knew the dark side quite well.
Well, you know, and that's the reality too, is that if people are naive to believe that there can be a darkness without light.
Yeah.
Right?
There's got to be the other.
To say that there's darkness in the world, what it causes that darkness? It's the shadow, right? It's the hiding from the light. That's the whole point of the darkness, is that it's the absence of light, right? Otherwise, what would it be? So God is the light. Satan is the darkness.
Right.
Right. Amen. Get out of the dark. The nice thing is that, you know, you've signed the line. You've signed in blood, right? In your blood, that your soul now belongs to Satan, or your contract is with the dark sided stuff, whatever, right? The reality is that that is the same as me trying to sell Tim a house that belongs to Jack. You can have the contract with me all you want, but it doesn't mean Jack when Jack comes to claim it.
Right.
And you can believe it all the way to the grave. You can believe that contract is good and is valid and that you owe the debt, okay? But Jesus paid it all, past, present, and future.
You know, one thing I tell people too is that this is one thing that I think is great, is that, you know, Jesus Christ freed us from our sins. He freed us from the consequences of our sin. Right? We were in a prison, and Jesus Christ is literally standing there with the doors wide open, telling us, "Turn around, accept that I open this door for you, and walk through it." But we have become so stubborn. We have become so trapped in who we are that we refuse to turn around and see that the wall has been broken down by God. We still want to stand in that 2x2 wall. It's not even a cell anymore. It's just a single wall that we're staring at. We don't want to turn around because it's comfortable, right? Three hots in a cot. You know, homeless people say that sometimes they'll do something dumb to get arrested because it's three hots in a cot. They get three meals and a warm place to sleep, right? But that's a temporary problem.
Yeah.
That's a temporary fix to a long-term problem, I mean. And I'm sorry for kind of ranting on this, right? But this is where the meat of the matter is.
And it's Satan, so important.
Satan is alive and well in this world. Jesus is too.
That's right.
Not only that, but if you were to look at it, Jesus is the creator of this world. Satan is just a renter. There's going to come a time when Satan is going to be evicted, right? He's been squatting here long enough. He's going to get evicted out of this place. Jesus Christ is going to reclaim what is rightfully his. And guess what? All of those squatters that decided to say that, you know, Satan does belong here. This is his realm. This is where he belongs. This is where he should be. They're all going to get kicked out with him. And the question is, do you want to be one of those? Because if you're listening to us, you now have recollection and knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And Jesus Christ himself says, if you know who I am and do nothing, it is the same as rejecting me. It is the same as being my enemy. If you are not my friend, you're my enemy. So decisions have to happen now. And that's it. That's all I'm going with.
Amen.
You know, I got beat up quite a bit for me talking about people's sin, okay, and telling them the truth. And I was praying about it, and something came to me. And it came to me that, you know, a lot of gays and lesbians and others say that Christians are haters. And I'm here to tell you that that's a lie that's being said, because we're actually the ultimate lovers. And what I mean by lovers is that if we didn't care, we wouldn't say. If you see a child playing on a on train tracks, you make a choice. Oh, you can let him do his own thing, or you can care enough to go out and tell him that, hey, there could be a train coming real quick. You know, it's one here at 7 a.m., there's one at 3:30, and it's almost 3:30 now. You better get off them tracks, or you can get run over by that train. If I didn't care, if we didn't love you, and you're listening to this, if we didn't, Christians ultimately love you. We're not killing you. Islam kills gays and lesbians and other people. Christians don't. We inform you. We care enough to take your heat, to take your anger, to take your hatred, and tell us how bad we are, because we loved you enough to tell you to your face that that playing on the tracks as you're doing is, you're going to get hit by the train, and the train is permanent. Coming back from getting hit by the train is devastating. It's not, you're not coming back. Okay. And this train is the penalty of sin. Okay. And so when we tell you that something, if we say something that offends you, allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. Because if you're a drunkard, if you're a child molester, if you're doing a sin that is making God sick to his stomach, he hasn't changed his mind. In his word throughout the New Testament, the Old Testament, there's sins that he detests. And he's not changed his mind. He's not going to change his mind. So your experiences in life have allowed you to believe that you're on the right path, that you are a free thinker, that you have all the answers. And we care enough to tell you that just like a guy that keeps committing crimes is one day going to get busted and go to prison, we're telling you the same thing, that the train's coming. And we care enough to tell you that you need to alter your actions, okay? We are ultimately loving you. When Jesus Christ came on the planet, he did the same thing. He told them that, you know, about their sins, and they crucified him. He took the hatred that they would have for him because he loved them. We're willing to take the hatred that you have for us because we love you.
Amen. With that, let's have a prayer. Dear Jesus, we just ask that right now, that whoever is listening out there, that if they're searching for you, that they find you, and that they can accept you for who you are. You're Jesus Christ. You died on the cross for their sins. You paid the ultimate penalty. And all they got to do is accept you and take that free gift that you offer. We ask that no matter what they've done in life, that they turn to you and they get on their knees and say, dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I've fallen short. Just forgive me. Forgive my sins. And I want you now. I want you in my life. I want you in my heart. I want you to guide and direct me. Be my Lord of my life. And with that, they're saved. They have a long eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that dark side that they've been living, that will gradually go away. You will take it all away. We thank you for that. We just ask that this episode today was glorifying to you, that the truth got out there. And just thank you for this show that we're allowed to freely talk about you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Folks, if you have any questions about salvation, about Jesus Christ, email us, please. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to tell you more about Jesus. Let's get jacked up at gmail.com. You could also message us on Facebook at our Facebook page. It's the Let's Get Jacked Up on Facebook. And we also have a Twitter. And we also are on our own website, letsgetjackedup.com. And the Fringe Radio Network, we're on Spreaker. We are
We're everywhere.
Spotify, iTunes.
We're sitting on your toilet everywhere. Right now in your bathroom.
Oh, boy.
Please knock before entering. We might have to light a match.
Wow.
I know. We're going there.
We're going there.
I got to end it on a light note, man. We got heavy for a minute there. Anyways, everybody, amen. God bless you. We thank you so much for listening. Don't be strangers because we'd love to meet you.
Amen. God bless everybody.
On Facebook and Twitter at Let's Get Jacked Up. Check out our website at letsgetjackedup.com. Listen and download our episodes from our website, the Spreaker app, and of course at fringeradionetwork.com. Remember to be in this world, but not of this world.
You are listening to the Fringe Radio Network at fringeradionetwork.com.
Make Master Copy your one-stop shop for all your copy needs. Whether it's digital, black and white, or full-color copies, NCR carbonless paper, bindings, laminating, business cards, rubber stamps, sending a fax, or rush orders, Master Copy has it all.
Located at 4910 North Cedar Avenue, behind Jabba Juice, across from the 7-Eleven. Their phone number is 559-225-7814. That's 559-225-7814. Or get a hold of me, Trey, by emailing him at mastercopycenter@yahoo.com.
California, it's back. It's bigger and it's better. It's the Memorial Day Sell-a-thon, and it's back at your California Ford dealers. It's bigger. Get Sell-a-thon size savings on a new Ford and choose from a massive selection of our most popular vehicles like Fusion, Escape, Explorer, even the legendary F-150. It's better than ever, but hurry. These exciting offers end soon. The Memorial Day Sell-a-thon, it's back. It's bigger. It's better, but it won't last long. Hurry to your California Ford dealers today.
Hey Google Pixel fans, for a limited time, get both our Sprint Unlimited plan and the all-new Google Pixel 3a included for under $35 per month per line for 5 lines. All you need is approved credit, an 18-month lease, and a new line of service. Visit your local Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1 today. Phone $11.07 per month after $5.56 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Remaining balance due if canceled early. Unlimited basic after 6/30/20. Pay $32 per month per line for 5 lines with autopay. Data deprioritization during congestion excludes taxes, surcharges, and roaming. Speed maximums, use rules, and restrictions apply.